whole connection. I'm going to share this with you accordingly. Today, as usual, I know that we are becoming a very important community when we are coming to ask for. I know why I'm saying that. Sometimes I felt that we must be important every day, but there are days when we are coming to a strange home that was becoming a really old, that everybody is coming to our community. That we are ready. I will hear from you. I can't say my president. I don't know who's leading the delegation, but I'm happy that our women are with us. Gone are days in some other areas that you get on your knees. If you suffer, keep it up. Want to see this journal. By those words, thank you, my wife, also our subject, to keep coming to take care of our members. But for the member who is very, very sick, just be hospitalized, the veteran of this community, honor the community. He's not well. I can see he's not well. We've been asking members not to come in numbers like the doctors. They wish that we must give him. His time to recover. By those words, I'm opening this meeting, hoping that we'll behave. Before I present the agenda, I want to know Obani Abalapa. And I want to know who's the report. By those words, I'm welcoming you, Shaba, and tell us who are you and who's going to be.
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you very much. It is our pleasure to be here this morning. Of course, to the narrative of what is expected of us as an organization, that is the status of SAFA about up to date. Myself is Kao Shishana. I'm the vice president of SAFA Civilian. I'm the leader of the delegation as well. which is our president of the manager of the UFC, because a very important meeting that he had to attend, not to undermine this meeting, because he knew the importance of this, and the fact that also we were aware of this meeting. But something unforeseen, he had to go and deal with that particular matter. So unfortunately, he could not be at the hands of the delegation and the vice president. If I can go in further and introduce myself, on the right, I have our CFO, Mr. Kwanisue. To him is Madam Maria Dwala, member of the National Executive Committee. Then I have our CEO, Mr. Dennis Mambo. I have Madam Natasha Tiklas, member of the National Executive Committee, who is also the chairperson of our Technical Standing Committee. I also have Gerald Brown, is member of the National Executive Committee, and is also the chair of SAMA in the Western Cape Islands. Next to him, I've got Emma Hendricks. She's one of our regional chairpersons in the Northern Cape. We thought it good to bring her here as well. Next to her is Mr. Luis Montana, member of the National Executive Committee, and is the vice chairperson in the Western Cape Province of South Africa. And then I have Mr. Truman Prince, also a member of the National Executive Committee. I must say, Madam, when you were complimenting us on our delegation as far as the gender representation was concerned, I thought we were going to ask them to repeat, and I thought the meeting was going to finish. It was such a great compliment from you. So this is what is expected of us, and this is what we told ourselves that, look, I think it is important that we must deliver on some of these expectations, and I think it's good work in progress. So this is my delegation, and of course I've got a team ready available to discuss our responsibilities, and of course to respond to whatever is expected from us, you know, this morning. Thank you very much.
If you want to add something to the agenda, because we're already asking you ahead, but I'm not sure if you're reading the agenda. The agenda is a decision on the floor. Can we adopt the agenda?
Not to raise your blood pressure, but last week when I saw the program, I said to my colleagues that there's no way that any of us is going to be here. Now, this is becoming too predictable. Can we have a proper reason as to why a meeting was scheduled or not there? Every other committee that has presented here has given us a reason for where we avoided the president here, which has never been brought into question. In this case, I think it's very worthwhile and very, I think very important that we get to the bottom of this.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Senka. So, Chair, I must express, with respect, for me, it's quite unfortunate for this question, because I take offense as a want the leadership of believers of this organization. I take offense on that. Rotterdam is not South African football. South African football was invited to do a presentation here. And South African football is here going to present the case. So I'm not too sure whether we must be dictated to as to the leadership of SAP, you know, we are asked to present the case. Whenever we are invited by any institution, SAP decides as to who should go. In this case, Dr. Sudan was meant to be part of this delegation until every event out that he could not make it. So that should not be an issue when one of the members of this organization is not there. Because I feel it that undermines the intelligence of the leadership of the entire organization. We have decided this is a delegation and the delegation will be here. Yes, we wanted Dr. Sudan to be here, unfortunately could not be here. You know, and it was beyond. So that would be my answer. But remember, with respect, I give a delegation of SAP, and they have asked whatever question they would want to ask. Surely, if there was a question to Dr. Zoran, pose the question to the leadership. Well, I think we can do it to respond to any question. Thank you.
Accepted the apology of any institution when it's called by this committee. I don't know today why are we raising the consent if the apology. If we were not having an apology, we're going to raise that. And I want that we must start our meeting in that note that we have noted and accept the apology. If there are members who are not accepting the apology, we cannot argue about the apologies here. For instance, there are so many members sometimes are not attending this meeting. So, by your respect, I'm fine upstairs. I'm recovering, but I can't think that we must discuss apologies at this meeting. By doing that, I will ask that this matter must be closed because we have a long agenda.
Chair, other ex-mayors have come here. We have the right to have an answer. That was not an answer. That was an attack. We don't accept that apology. An apology is meant to be a reason, not another attack. The other ex-mayors can hear, so I can turn you around.
Another
members,
you still want us to deliver on an apology? I do accept what that you accept the apology, you wanted further clarification. So if we are fine, I'm fine also. I'm seeing other hands. Another for the question.
Thank you, sir. The delegation is headed by an officer whose title is vice president, not deputy. That makes a big difference between a vice and a deputy. And already, that changes the complexion and the status of the gold delegation when it is headed by a vice president. And this has got nothing to do with the respect that we as committee, as parliament, have for SAFA. It's just a little technicality. But more importantly, is the fact that we have had more than a year expecting Mr. Danny Organ to come here. And the standard excuse was that he's heading matters, you know, municipal level and in the Nelson Mandela municipality. That was gone. AMC was defeated. Now we expect him to be here instead of heading the opposition in Port Elizabeth. We want him to do what we expect him to do. And we want a more valid reason why he is not here. Thank you.
Honorable President, yep. If you want to be checked by myself, you better to back door. Because when I'm saying order, you're supposed not to continue to talk. You always like this when there is a meeting. You can't chip in other things. We're here to discuss very important things. And when I'm saying order, you're continuing speaking while I'm doing that. but very clear to all of us, you can't continue like this every now and then when you are in this meeting. Please behave yourself.
I wasn't going to say anything initially, but I think that the response from the Deputy President is disappointing. I think there are three issues. One is the issue of principles. Every other delegation that has come here has come with its president. Regardless of what their surname or their name was, their president was here. And I remember very well in this particular group, we chased away one delegation because they did not bring in their president, and that was SASCO. So the whole issue that is related to a particular individual is neither here nor there. It's the principle of this committee that federations come with their presidents, and that should be the case here. It shouldn't be different now that we've got the Football Federation here. And second, it's actually incorrect to say that when the committee calls in a delegation, the sitting delegation tries how it composes this delegation. You know, the rules of the National Assembly with the portfolio committee, if you want to stretch them, we can increase all who that delegation is. But we are not there yet because we believe in the spirit of openly discussing this. But I think if we are to be honest and frank and have a robust discussion about, you know, genuine apologies and reasons provided therefore, the explanation by the Deputy President was totally unacceptable. I think, in fact, what he tends to do is to dismiss the issue rather than to honestly and robustly engage it. And I think as here, as members of the Portfolio Committee, we are here, we are entitled to have every question that's related to the conduct of our work and to ask the question. And people shouldn't be incomparable simply because you ask questions that are uncomfortable. We are here to ask questions, we are here to provide explanations, and if we agree it's nice, we move on with the understanding that we both do our work. But we would be not doing our work if we don't ask where the president of the federation is. Thank you, sir.
We will be attempting to
transfer
the thing because they were not prepared, not because the president was not here. They told us that President of SASCO told them night before and said we are not prepared. So because we are not prepared, we cannot listen to you. Go back and come when you are prepared. That it was the reason. But as your fact, I do hear and Honorable Manan, Honorable the Wind. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think it's not for the first time to call our NCCA. What so that we can close this chapter of apologies. I think the FC, the Vice President, did apologize that the President is not here. But what I will say, Chairperson, is that maybe we can keep this so that we can close this and continue with our meeting. We can just give it over to the Vice President for you that maybe he can correct that it. This is Safa. The Safa is not Dr. Jordan. That's it. Because if he did apologize that the president is not here, maybe he can ask you, because maybe it can be a punch reader while he is speaking about the president that is not here by saying this is Safa and Safa, while he's here, it's not the Safa is not the Dr. Jordan. I think that we can just correct it and accept the apology while he is not here. Thank you.
I think it can't be proper to spend so much time debating on the apology. The main thing that the Vice President has missed just to give that proper reason for the apology, because just to say there's other important commitments that he has to attend, really does not. Because he is number one and he's the president. Everybody is expecting. Maybe that's why the camera is okay. They know the distance will be here. So please just give a proper reason so that we can move. You don't have to waste time on the apology.
I'm
sorry
about
the
business. You need
No, okay, I want to take on with the evening. of 2 days because the conference was issued for the and once I was satisfied with the entry, we requested the next meeting the president also be present. So that we are speaking for the first one. But for now, I mean, we can undermine the relationship that we get. And I don't want to speak on behalf of SAFA. SAFA can explain their relationship, but for me, really, I want that to continue with the presentation, deal with the mental success and that.
Honourable members, I do take your comments, and I'm not doubting that you wanted the apology, the reasons of the apology of Honourable the President of SAFA, and they will put on with some addition words that members are feeling uncomfortable about that. If you can. I respect the committee if they are feeling that they wanted an apology and the apology is put it up but we have landed at when I put in the apology we can apologize in order that we must spoke on our agenda.
But then thank you very much for the opportunity. Of course if I've offended anyone in my response, of course I will apologize, but the member when he was commenting on the action of Dr. Kadhafi, there was an insinuation and I took offense from that insinuation. And the insinuation was that probably the president was running away from whatever. And also there was this undermining, you know, and I felt seriously undermined. As leader of this delegation and as an organization, I felt we being undermined our ability and our readiness, you know, to respond. But the insinuation, I took offense. And that's the reason for my response. And I want to apologize if I've offended anybody. But I just felt that it was really fun. But the time is not there. And therefore, this is what the expected delegation, and if you look also in this text, you will see the name of Dr. Jordan because this was well prepared. You could see he was coming in this meeting, but as I said, unfortunately, 11th hour, he couldn't make it. So he's not running away. If he was running away, he planned it long before, the short of Dr. Jordan's name would not appear. And this delegation was decided by the organization because we were asked to come and present. So I want to apologize if I offend anybody, but that was the reason for my response. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, can I ask you that you must get to the agenda of the committee today? And I do not have the right to say that the matter is imposed because the issue was the way that the apology was put. And if we're having an apology like this, I would pledge to discuss this apology until the end of this committee. I will ask the one who's leading the application according to the briefing, written by SA Football Association, SAFA 1.1, on getting there now.
Can you
get into the agenda?
Can I make a proposal, please? Thanks, Chair. Sorry, just based on the insinuation and unprofessional answer, can I actually ask that we postpone the meeting until Dr. Gavan is actually available?
Come
again? Based on the interaction I've just had and the unsatisfactory answer I've just received again, can I ask that we reschedule this meeting for when Dr. Gavan is actually available for this committee?
We cannot. I'm taking the ruling reservation. These are taxpayers' money. These people are playing far from here. They are here and they are pretext givers. And agenda. As Chairman said, I cannot call this meeting off. I cannot account about expenses of the people who are here. Look at this petition.
Thank you. The UDMs live in the meeting, Mr. Jordan, is not
here. Thank you. Thank you. Almost certainly. No, I wanted to make my point before Mr. Sultan, but again, the benefit of that. But there are two disheartening things here. One is it's difficult to accept an apology that hasn't been given. And if we were to be honest, we haven't been given an explanation. We've just been given a standard apology. And that makes it increasingly difficult for us to accept it for what it is, because they
if they're not accepting the apology,
then so. But you're creating another environment where members are not allowed to.
No, I'm allowing you, but I'm saying.
But I'm still making my point.
Listen, I'm telling you, we are repeating the same thing of complaining of the way that they put the apology, and we have presented ourselves on that. So that's why I'm saying, if we are still repeating that, we are not going to say anything, because he responded, and when he responded, we're thinking that all is well, but if it's not well, why are we arguing about apologies? We've heard you clearly what we are saying, that you were not happy about the way that apology was put, and was said. He must apologize on the fact that he was lamenting about the way. And now I'm saying to you, honorable member, do you want to be with us in the meeting, not discussing the apology? That's the question that I'm asking. But I can't not stop you, but I'm stopping you to ask you that, do you think that you're doing good for the committee, that you must discuss the apology for more than 30 minutes?
Chair, I think you're preempting me. My simple point is this. Honorable Bergman asked a very critical question. And there was a discussion on that. But even the response to that, because where I'm sitting now, there's still no apology. And it's difficult for us to just say, let's shut the discussion down and let's proceed as if everything is well. We must ask questions. We are members of the committee. We are entitled to ask those questions. And we must be given the space to contribute to the debate in the committee, whether it's uncomfortable for some or others. We are entitled to be here. And we came here because we wanted to do our work. But we can't do our work when the environment is in here and the delegation is incomplete. That makes it even difficult for us to fulfill our role as members of this committee. So on that line, it doesn't depend on us to do our job, but also those on the other side must make sure that when they come to the committee, they fulfill their responsibilities. And that must include them providing a proper explanation, because in all honesty, there's no apology here. So it's difficult to accept something that hasn't been presented. What is agent business? We don't know what agent business is. That is a standard apology. And why is this hesitation to be frank and open about reasons? Because that's not what we are getting to. So,
I think thank you, because they are saying that this is not an apology. We don't know when we are going to get the apology. I think that the delegation which is in front of us, this is an apology. And if the apology has been accepted by some of us, who is going to give us any other apology? Because if I can...
I think we call these people here to come and account. And they're here. And they've used it as their money to come in. And we just tell all of them to go away. Unless we are posing a question and they keep on referring it to, let's wait for the initial time. That's where then we can say, they were here for nothing. Let us let them account. And if they fail to account because of the absence of the initial time, then you can say, no, then go. But for now, yeah, let them wait. And then for that one,
accept the apology of the meeting so that due to the coercion given. But I can't say we must close the meeting. Here are the people to account. Let us deal with the issues of the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think in support with the Honourable Director, that we must continue with the meeting. But I'll only give away which he says he don't accept the apology, because if I understood very well, he said President Dr. Jordan went to attend another meeting. That was the apology, that he's not going to be here because of that other meeting. And she said, I'm not going to say much because I think the owner would tell me he's not here. Otherwise, he insulted us. The insult that he already said, he was insulting us, but I did not want to respond on that because we have already told him he must insult like that. So he decided to go out because he is representing himself here. If he was representing the county, he was going to be with us. And those who's going to walk out now is those who represent themselves. They are not representing the county. Thank you.
Honorable members, this is the first time in this committee that we're discussing apology. And maybe next time we must try very hard to take the apologies. Sometimes in this committee we invite senior people not to come on the last minute and do agree when maybe it is presenting, because the only thing that we want is information for the country. And whatever is happening today, I said when I was opening this meeting, we're all here thanks that we're still alive after so much happened during local government. We cannot take local government into this format again. We're not cheap. We know why we think it's like this. Can you, Honourable Members, that support that we must start, and we're not going to be part of saying that go out, because you didn't go with your friends' money. These are taxpayers' money, and I'm sure this committee is always wanting to check even the strength of this committee, where it goes. So by those words, let me thank honorable members that they are here in order that we must pose questions to you, that if we are not satisfied by those questions, we'll do what we've done to members of SASCO, who did come here without preparation, but the documents are at the very end, and here are in front of us, and we expect that we never ever fail to answer questions. But if we don't answer our questions, it's then that we must take a radical decision. But as we are speaking, the meeting is on. We must be saying to honorable members that we must voice, but the only thing that I'm saying, and this is not the first time that this deviation is not led by somebody who is supposed to prevent it. So this is not the first time, but because was it fresh from local government, I was not expecting that we really show that in the committee. But we are all leaders here, we are all politicians. I'm seeing what is going on, but we are not here for politics. We are here to say, what are you doing about tax money of this the country, and what are the progress that we are doing, and we'll scrutinize and we'll tell you if we're not getting to the vibrant discussions. I think, can you give somebody to lead the discussion or the briefing?
My name is Ronnie Simeon. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of SAFA.
financial year end, third of June.
Over the last 4 years, from 2012 to 2015, the first
part is our revenue. As you can see that in 2012, our revenue was 324 million. The main reason for that big amount is the assets that we received from the World Cup. After the World Cup, SAFA received quite a lot of assets from the organizing committee, which was comprising of cash and physical assets like vehicles, buses. So that's why we had 324 million in 2012. Then in 2013, our revenue went down to 208, so we did not have an extra revenue anymore. Then in 2014, our revenue shot up to 282 million. And there were two major elements in that. The first one was we hosted Brazil in that financial year and received some substantial funding from the Gauteng provincial government. And also we had a few additional sponsors in that year. So the current plan is to bring in new sponsorships. So that's why our revenue shot up from 208 to 282 million in 2014. Then in 2015, which is the financial year that we are reporting to you today, our revenue shot up again to 330 million from 282 to 330. And the main reason for that is SAFA will receive the grant from the FIFA Legacy Trust, and that grant was to acquire a property which we are going to develop, or which we are developing as our national technical center. That property was known as Fun Valley, and we are in the process of developing it into our national technical center. So that grant that we received from the Legacy Trust, it made our revenue to shoot up from 282 million to 330 million. So that is our revenue as of 2015, but as I say, that it includes that grant. So our normal revenue would be around 250 million on average. Then in terms of our expenses, 2012, our expenses were 380 million. As we were approaching the World Cup, our expenditure base increased. So it took us a bit of time to adjust post the World Cup. So in 2012, our expenditure base was still quite high, which is why you see 380 million. But we started realizing that this is not sustainable. We cannot sustain it as an association. We then started coming up with recovery plans, restructuring processes, which kicked in effectively in 2013. Then 2013, our expenditure went down from 308 million to 254 million. Then in 2014, our expenditure increased slightly from 254 million to 273 million. As I say, when I was explaining the revenue, that in the 2014 financial year, we got in Brazil, and it was quite an expensive exercise. Brazil doesn't come cheap, so that's why our expenditure went up in 2014. Then in 2015, our expenditure increased again to 284 million. And the main reason for increase in 2015 was the increased activities within our junior national teams. If you recall, our under 17 qualified for the Africa Youth Championship, and then they went further to qualify for the World Cup. And our under 20 men, they also qualified for the African Youth Championship. So when we qualified for this tournament, there is an increase in expenditure in the sense that we have to prepare the team. We can't just go to the tournament without a preparation. So preparing for the tournament is quite a costly exercise. And then also participating at those tournaments is quite a costly exercise. You know, except for the FIFA tournament where you get quite a huge amount of subsidies. So that's why our expenditure shot in 2015. Then the bottom section is our net results. As you can see that in 2012, we had a deficit of 56 million. million, and then 2013, 46 million. That's when we say we need to come up with a financial recovery plan, and we need to implement it immediately. So we implemented that financial recovery plan, and the results were there. In short, in 2014, we then reported a surplus of 10 million, and in 2015, our surplus increased to 46 million. Then the next slide shows our reserves. In 2011, we had reserves of 98 million, which was mainly our benefit from the World Cup. Then in 2012, our reserves started going down to 42 million. And in 2013, we depleted our reserves. We had an accumulated deficit of 4 million. Then in 2014, as a result of the recovery plan, we started building our reserves again. We had reserves of 6 million. Then 2015, our reserves went up to 52 million. And then at this slide, this gives you this is a comparison of our different expenditure areas. The first one is our national teams. We took the junior teams out of that, and the junior teams are under development. So that's our national teams, excluding junior teams. So in the current year, which is 2015, our expenditure was 78 million. And the prior year, we had 74 million for national teams. Then our competition, it's almost similar. Prior year, 25 million, 23 million, current year, 25 million. And then our development cost, they went up from 46 million to 52 million, which is mainly our junior national teams increased activity. Then our governance cost went up from 10 million to 60 million. We had some special Congress to approve some very important changes in our constitution. So that's why our governance cost increased. And then our administration cost went down from 118 million to 112 million. So our administration costs are mainly our support costs. For an example, we have a corporate services division where we have HR, our membership support team. We have our IT, we have our logistics, we have free department, we have procurement. Then we have the football business, which is more of your commercial services. We have media and communication services. So those are admin and operation costs. We also have our overhead included in there, which include salaries, our insurance cost, our accounting cost, and auditing cost. They're all included in there. So that went down from 118 million to 112 million. And then the next slide is just a breakdown of our development cost, which is the main reason why exist is to develop football within the country. We have junior leagues, under 13 leagues at LFA level, we have under 15 leagues, and then we have under 17 junior leagues. So those costs went down from 16 million to 12 million. When we started the leagues, during the second year of the leagues, we improved on the controls within those leagues, compliance issues. So if an LFA does not comply, then we hold back the funding until they comply. So that's why there was a reduction from the prior year, because we became more strict when it comes to compliance. And then our junior national teams, I've explained before that the participation in different activities increased. So we have an increase in cost from 9 million to 19 million. Then our academy, which is currently the high performance center, we have 25 girls in the high performance center. The amount is almost the same, 4 million to 5 million, which is inflationary increase. Then we have our membership affairs, which is the department that interests our regions. We pay grants to our regions, 15 million
entire year and 50 million calendar year. And then the last one is our coaching education, where we spend 1 million prior year and current year. Then our balance sheet comprises of our current assets, 112 million, and then our non-current assets is 152 million. So our non-current assets is mainly, you know, what used to be called fixed assets. That's our building, Safa House. That's the technical center that I'm talking about, the Safa National Technical Center. And then our buses, our cars, our furniture equipment is all included in that 152 million. Then we have current liabilities of 207 million and then non-current liabilities of 5 million. We are aware that our balance sheet is not structured the way we want it to be. Our current liabilities, as you can see, they are 207 million and then our current assets are 112 million. So that position worries us and it's something that we're working on. We've got a plan that within the next 5 years, we should be able to restructure our balance sheet so that our current assets are more or at least equal to our current liabilities. And then the last part for me is the opinion that we received from our auditors, KPMG. I quote, in our opinion, this financial statement presents fairly in all material respects the consolidated and separate financial position of South African Football Association at 30th of June 2015 and its consolidated and separate financial performance and cash flows for the year then ended in accordance with international financial reporting standards and codes. So we received a clean audit. And I should also mention that for all the years, going back to maybe 15, 22 years, we have never received a qualified audit. We've always received a clean audit for which we are proud of. Thank you. 25 years.
You want to engage on, you know, one thing to allow that you must put all the presentations. I need you view all of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It's clear and you should still remember that taking notes was what we are putting to. Let's go to 1.3, the declaration and performance of Kanyana Banyan.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Dennis Mumble. I am the Chief Executive Officer of SJK in Football Circles. I'm the General Secretary of the South African Football Association. This presentation that I'm going to do is on the governance structure of the association, and what we put in your slide is the just a little bit about what SAFA is, entirely extracted from the SAFA constitution or the SAFA statutes, and I'm not going to go into detail on that, Chairperson. We've been in our part of our constitution for quite some time, and I think we've presented it to the committee before. And why SAFA exists and the mission statement of SAFA is really what drives us on a day-to-day basis, the programs and projects that we undertake that growing is something that we spend our money on. This is clearly the reason why and we do this. It's all encompassed in our mission statement. Currently, the governance structure of SAFA, at the top of that structure, Jefferson, sits the general membership of SAFA, whom we report to twice a year. One is in our annual general meeting and our annual congress, and the other one is a policy congress where we debate with our members issues that are not necessarily covered on the agenda of the annual congress. But the annual congress is our real accounting general meeting, and that happens every year. And in between annual congresses, or just the breakdown of the General Council, chairperson is actually SAPA consists of 32 regional members, 10 associate members, and then there's the one special member, which is really what everyone knows, that is the ESL, which comprises of the Premier Soccer League and National Association, which is really the ESL. In between council meetings, chairperson and National Executive Committee meets 4 times per year to then receive reports from all standing committees and the secretariat and all associated agencies or entities of the association. That constitutes the overall governance structure of the organization that the Middle East African Football Association. On the next slide is the SAPA administrative structure, which is headed by the Chief Executive Officer. And the structure itself is broken down into 4 divisions. There's a football division, a football business division, a corporate services division, and then finance, and all of the departments that are listed under each one of those divisions. It's what really pulls all of the work of the association together. And we report to the National Executive Committee on a quarterly basis what we are in the process of implementing in terms of their decisions, because we take discussions from the National Executive Committee. The following slide shares just for information, but essentially SAPA then serves as the master licensor for football in South Africa. We license members, whether they are provincial, regional, or associate members, and are commissioned attached to that membership for them to retain that license. The same thing we do for players. The players are licensed via their clubs, but directly the association players, clubs, coaches, referees, all kinds of leagues, whether it be 11-a-side leagues or 5-a-side leagues or beach soccer leagues, and also academies. What we use for players, agents, and then our judicial panelists, we are busy putting together a program which we want to try and build a better soccer jurisprudence or football jurisprudence by making sure that we bring together all of our precedents to try and minimize disputes at the local level, because that's where a lot of problems happen in football. Then the structure of football in the current country currently, chairperson, there are about 40,000 clubs. Those clubs are in turn affiliated to local football associations. There are 343 functional local football associations. Our target is that we need to reach 380 functional local football associations. Unfortunately, we are not there yet. We are demarcated according to the Municipal Demarcation Board's demarcations, and we essentially there are 380 local municipalities, I believe, and we are trying to get to that point. But we are at 343 local football associations, and they in turn are part of 52 regional football associations that are all affiliated directly to the National Federation. And some of the governance instruments, chairperson, the SAPA statutes, and there are 4 sets of statutes which we call our standard statutes. So one is for the national association, the other one is for provincial structures, the other one is for our regional structures, and then for our local football associations. So that there's consistency across the board. We were then able to adopt from 2012 onwards all these lengthy structures, so that football administration can have some kind of uniformity around the country, and I'm happy to report. I think we finally achieved that. So those other statutes, the national standard statutes, the regional standard statutes, the LFA standard statutes, and the PEC, or Provincial Executive Council standard statutes. And then there are rules and regulations and administrative policies that also guide us on what we do on a day-to-day basis. And then I thought we will add also where we are headed, chairperson, by way of what is happening in FIFA. I think all of us are familiar with all of the scandals that have enveloped FIFA over the last couple of years. And FIFA is busy restructuring itself. And we are expected as an association to also follow whatever is happening in terms of the changes, especially from the governance standpoint within FIFA. And that's the exercise that we are undertaking now, that by the end of the year, we would have then adopted all of the new FIFA governance reforms that are now taking place within FIFA. And by March of next year, we are expected to have fully implemented all of the new governance standards being set by World Football for all of its members. And basically, the three pillars of the governance changes in FIFA, Chairperson, is the issue around the principles of leadership to affect cultural change at FIFA, and may say cultural change at SAFA as well, because all associations are expected to abide by that. The second pillar, Chairperson, is governance, and the governance reform, how FIFA and SAFA governs itself, how transparent it becomes, and how it conducts its business on a day-to-day basis. As an example, we have taken a lesson from or guidance from Transparency International and tried and make us as many of the five basic criteria that Transparency International speaks to good governance is to put our information as much as possible and make it available to the public and put it online. So all of our annual reports, our annual financial statements, our audited financial statements are all online. Our statutes are also online, available through the SAFA website. And we are going to try and do as much as possible in a short period of time to really live up to what we think and agree is a proper way to go from a government standpoint. And then the third pillar of the FIFA reforms, Chairperson, is the issue of fostering greater participation of member associations and stakeholders in FIFA to avoid the appearance and the practice in the past of only a few people taking decisions sitting at the top, and we are expected ourselves to also change that culture of just a small group of people taking decisions within the association on behalf of its members by involving its members in all key decisions, or all decisions that have been taken on behalf of the association. Jefferson, the first pillar, the FIFA principles of leadership, is really broken down into these five items here. Basically, responsibility, humility, tone at the top, respect, and candor. We need to inculcate that in our organization, in our structures, as much as possible, as frequently as possible, and keep on reminding ourselves that we are here to serve our members, to service our members, and to grow and develop the game of football in the country. And we are expected to workshop and to live these principles of leadership. And what we are going to undergo over the next 4 months or 3 months, 3.5 months in SAFA is to make all of these changes in our statutes and let these reflect as the new way forward for SAFA as well. Then in terms of the governance package, FIFA has established a new FIFA council to oversee strategic matters and to have a supervisory role over its committees and the General Secretariat. We have, from 2012 already, very firmly established that principle, Chairperson, that we have reduced the number of committees that the association has into clusters, from 23 to 11 clusters of committees, so that they become more efficient and that we have committees of similar or like responsibilities, communicating more with one another. The second item, second pillar in the governance reform is that FIFA is establishing a fully independent audit and compliance committee to review and oversee all processes and money flows. FIFA has a new principle that they have structured themselves around now, is that all money coming in must be tracked and monitored. All money must be going out must be tracked and monitored at a much higher level than it has been done before. They are working with a number of organizations internationally, and that will also now flow down to the South African Football Association as well. And perhaps in the next presentation to Parliament, we can come with your question, Chair, to update you on how far we are with that. then FIFA has also established a much more focused development committee to allocate funds for individual projects. It will also now have a higher level of screening independently for all of its council members. The FIFA executive committee that we know no longer exists is called council now, and every single member that is elected to that council, every single background check will be done, whether it's a criminal background check, moral background check, or whatever background check. There's a very extensive list of background checks that they will be will have to go through in order for them to become a member of the new executive committee or the new FIFA council, and that includes the FIFA president as well. And then to also establish an independent compensation committee. So again, that these decisions are not all taken just within FIFA itself, chairperson. And then, very importantly, Chair, FIFA has set out the universal set of principles for confederations and member associations, the minimum standards that must be followed. And those are curriculum, religious neutrality, prohibition of discrimination, no external political interference, clear cut decision making bodies must be established, the respect for loyalty, integrity, and fair play. There must be independent judicial bodies, and as I said previously, Chair, we have taken the lead on this, and we have traditionally had independent judicial bodies that even our general counsel cannot overturn the decisions of the FIFA, I mean of the CAFA judicial bodies. Even if a disciplinary committee chair has made a decision, taken a decision or a ruling, only an appeals board can overturn that decision, and only an arbitrator can overturn an appeals board decision. Other than that, no one else in CAFA, no other structure within CAFA can overturn a CAFA judicial body's decision. So it is completely and totally independent, Chair. Then avoidance of conflicts of interest, and that we must establish representative democracy and have annual independent audits. As our CFO has already said, we have had 25 years of existence of SAFA, in all 25 years, not a qualified audit has been presented. And then the principle of participation, Chairperson, is the reduction of the standing committees from 26 committees to 9, to have independent committee members on finance, on development and governance, to have a stakeholders committee. For those who may not be aware, FIFA has put together a stakeholders committee that now comprises of former players and other key stakeholders in the game, so that it's just not just the football community itself now sitting together to discuss and guide where world football goes, but there are a number of other stakeholders, like players union, and former players and sponsors, and others who will also now have a formal input into FIFA structures. And then annual member conferences, FIFA has done what we did a number of years ago at SAFA, is to add a second national or international conference or FIFA membership conference to consult with its members on the direction that FIFA is taking. And we've always had that in our sessions, that we will have a second consultative congress that we allow our members to participate in every year. And then the FIFA Men's World Cup will now be expanded from 32 to 40 teams. The African continent will now be given 7 slots instead of the usual old 5 slots. We will have 7 spaces in the World Cup, which gives us, in our view, a much better opportunity to do better in the FIFA World Cup, provided that our development programs are all in place, Jefferson. And then, last but not least, and sort of put probably on the top there, is the promotion of women in football. Now, this is permeated now down to CAF as well, is that for the first time, CAF in its confederation statutes have included provision there for gender equality. Chair, we will report later in this presentation about what we've done in this respect when it comes to the Commission for Gender Equality update and report and feedback that the committee asked us for. Sufficient that is on the government side, on where we are and where we are headed.
Thank you so much on this other thorny issue, as it was only, and the minister of this committee that
Thank you very much. I was not 100% clear as to how much information we should have brought to the committee. But what we've done, as I said before, we've brought our full EPU report, what we submitted to the Department of Sport and Recreation, in terms of the target that we set out to achieve. But before we came to spot again, Shepherdson, I brought the full report, so members are free to go through the entire report. I'm sure you probably have, the committee also already seen the report. But, you know, there is so much detail in that report that, you know, it takes the next few days to just go through those. But what I thought maybe with this one slide is to encapsulate what we mean in South African football when we talk about transformation. Chair, I know the debate in the country, generally when we talk about transformation, we talk about racial transformation. And yes, we have a program that we constantly are looking at to see how we can correct, if anything needs to be corrected, but how to be as inclusive as possible when it comes to our structures, and also ultimately with our national team to participate in international football. That starts from the grassroots level, all the way from our clubs and local football associations and our regional football associations. But we go beyond chairperson, as you will see, there are seven areas of transformation that we constantly engage in. One being that we need to build an association that is better placed economically. You've seen from our financial statement the ups and downs and the uncertainty that we sometimes face when it comes to raising funds for the work that we do. It's not easy nowadays to go to sponsors. Sponsors are thinking completely differently about sponsorships that unfortunately sport can no longer be the number one in line when it comes to sponsorship funds, chairperson. And we have to constantly reinvent ourselves to place ourselves in a better position economically. The key priority for us, chairperson, is that we need to improve our performance on the field of play and transform the way we develop our players. And there's a lot of that, a lot of things happening in that respect as well. I've reported now about the governance changes that we are undertaking, Chair, and the continuing transformation that football must engage in order for it to be respected and grow that respect going into the future, Chair. And then administratively, for us to become a lot more professional in the way that we deliver our services and we manage this association. And then another key item is then the question, Chair, for us to address straightforward, and we are not going to sit in front of you today to say that we are happy with the way we manage our gender question. We are in a very big organization that faces the same challenges that everybody else in South Africa, that South African society generally faces, Chair, but it is not for a lack of trying. That we are not ourselves doing what I think we all would want to do, would like to do, but we will report on where we stand and what it is that we are doing when it comes to gender issues, and it is also not for a lack of sincerity that we have not achieved what we think needs to happen when it comes to gender equality. Equality means 50-50, essentially, and we have not reached that yet, but we will address the committee and let the committee know what it is that we have been doing so that perhaps we can work with the committee, we can work with the Commission for Gender Equality, which has now become a partner for us in our gender issues. And then there are the national priorities that are outlined in the National Sport and Recreation Plan, Chairperson, that we are always seeking to align ourselves with that National Sport and Recreation Plan. For instance, rolling out schools football. We have until last year, we recognized that we were only playing football in a structured way, organized football in somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000 schools around the country. We then partnered with the Department of Basic Education and the Sport and Recreation South Africa to start the rollout of football programs into 24,000 schools. So hopefully in the next 2 years, we will reach that number of having schools football programs in 24,000 schools at a minimum. I am told that there are 27,000 schools in the country, but our target is with the Department of Basic Education to have in the next 2 years, at least school football programs rolled out into 24,000 schools. And that program is well underway, Shepherd, and we are now even going around to all of the 9 provinces to finalize our 14 school football leagues. In our teams on the way to KwaZulu-Natal over the weekend, they finished Gauteng. Previous week they finished Free State and in the Northwest. And so we are going through all of the 9 provinces in terms of our different age group schools competitions. But that partnership is solid with the Department of Education and Sports and Recreation Director like on schools football plan, which is part of the National Sports and Recreation Plan. And as I said, in terms of the EPG report, we did receive a ministerial directive to one area where we were considered to be lacking, and that was on the school football program. The minister has given us a directive that we need in the next year to do better when it comes to the former Model C schools. There is an impediment which I think we have reported to this committee in the past, Chairperson, in our difficulty in accessing high schools and implementing schools football programs in high schools. I think we have been fine when it comes to elementary schools, but a blockage becomes in high schools so that we don't see the talent that comes from the elementary schools also getting that access and participation and exposure at the high school level. And it's a real serious challenge for us, and that includes the former Model C schools separation, where we really are now rolling out as much as we can to try and access those schools. And hopefully in the next year that we will be able to report much better results to avoid another ministerial directive in that respect. In all of the others, we as been very widely reported, Chair, we were able to achieve our transformation target in a year that the minister reported on a few months ago. But we acknowledge there are some areas where we still need to do a lot of work, and specifically is in the Model C, former Model C schools. I don't know if there's anything else, but I have brought at least 2 copies of the report, the EPG report and our report to the EPG.
Preparation problem game. bring scientific preparation and training. The periodization program that was football practical team building program and individuals again as from March and November 2015 to March 2016 it contains different drugs and that is to be of course personal fitness test and carry on the woman participation championship together the preparation after the reading very tough training program and preparation. Continue the training game and qualification game and so much. So as you can see, we really were very serious about Banana Banana, very serious about the preparation, playing with very strong offerings, Nigeria, Cameroon, Zimbabwe, many friendly and qualification matches for the first time. The geotraining of activities was, you know, identified as blocks will offer the geotraining of our activities. We'll step up by step the residents of the existence of the audience with the 6 weeks before the first game and the last 20 against an opponent who can match our strength. The lock system, we are very skillful as teams in our country. And this is very important. So, going through all this preparation, as you can see, very good results many times with very strong opponents. They gave us that help. The assessment from the head coach is generally we had a very positive reaction both from FIFA, from international media, and South Africa women's football is in the world arena. Is that everybody talks about that? The team just came through, and every time quite fast for me. But over and above this, play a lot of strong competition. It took a long time, it will take again, but many countries have it achieved what we have in this beautiful woman. It means that we are very serious about how much we want. The children have developed the competition at the highest level. Because of course music are the highest level and the World Cup. Well, we don't set the glass in football. We saw the results. We just needed to win the last place and to qualify. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. So, teams like Brazil, we do it against Brazil. Players and ladies, and we managed to do that. But perhaps it's the lack of professional league, the reason why we did not send it. Only it happened to our team. And this is something we can say about, because it's one of the challenges. When it comes to men's teams, they have, let's say, professional league, when it comes to women, they're fine. When we call them for parents and we call them to train, and that creates a problem. However, as I said, we had a very, very positive reaction from FIFA and from the international media, and that is a hope. The professional league is a must, Madam Chair, to be able to grow further. All top nations have a professional league. The know, prayers when they go abroad. They bring a high level of prayer to Jesus. And that tells you the So, Sunday prayers must be already at a certain level the moment they enter this process. Otherwise, you can start all over again every time a new prayer enter the deep. So we like to keep our prayers, because some of them, they give up, they're going to work, and then we're losing time, we're losing time. And we just want to say that we are very, very serious about our women's football. We are very serious about the talent we have in our country. And the development is great. We just need to establish a winning combination by do it professionally. Honorable Chair, I just want to give an example. In Nigeria, where the women's football is excellent, those players, they need a full-time job to be a player, a full-time job that gets paid for that. So they wake up in the morning, go for breakfast, go for training, come back, have lunch, go back for theory, and another training and so on. And you can see the difference. So we do have that talent. We just have to develop more and more in our country. And we can do it better than any other country. The men's Olympic team are under 23 qualified after 15 years. It is 15 years qualified together with Nigeria, Algeria, and to be one of the third best teams in our continent is a great achievement. It's not easy again, because many times players they go to school under 23, or it's not a FIFA day so they can be choose to come and train with the national team. And this is a lot of challenges that we face. However, the good thing is that some of them, they play professional football. And you can see the talent we have there. In the next page, we have all their preparation programs. It's 90 matches from November 2015. Camp, train, better game, exercise taking, no problems when it comes to release players. So you have to compromise sometimes. And in the end of the day, we did it. We had both our women and men qualified for the team. Very few countries did that. But on chess, you can see we spent a lot of money for Banana Banana. It's never enough, of course. But we are very serious about, once again, our women. It's over 27 million. And this is because we needed a lot of preparation and help in order for our ladies to be ready. The next Olympic team is close to 9 million. And we hope that in future, both children under 23, they are the next of another family. So they have a great experience from the Olympic Games. The same like Banana Banana, they have great experience. Some of the young girls participate in that team. So we're very proud that both our teams qualify, Madam Chair. And we will promise that we will continue with a very hard work. Thank you. Thank you.
Chairperson, as I reported earlier about the presentation needs, are the three slides that I put I had to add overnight because they were not included in that. The other three duplicate slides were put in your presentation. I was advised to be duplicated. So what we've done is to take the General Commission recommendations because the question from the committee was how far have we come with the implementation of those recommendations. And so what we did is to just take the recommendations one by one and put a response in red at the end of each one of those recommendations to indicate where we are with respect to the recommendations, Chairperson. So I don't know perhaps if we should just read for the benefit of the members because unfortunately our apologies once again that we this is an oversight that we instead of putting the right slide in, put in duplicate slides on the women's football option. And so we've had to add at the last minute these three slides. So with the permission of the chair, perhaps we should just read to that.
Given the fact that they do have some oversight in that industry, but I think they can just go through it and the team just make provision for us to have that document. For now, we'll just take it at least through the oral presentation and then if they can make a plan by the time they see, they also have that document.
This is the total content of our report to the General Commission. This is why I said I didn't know how to, you know, summarize all of this data in a slide presentation. It's not going to take a very long time. And the reason why we brought this along, Chair, is precisely because we went back to engage the General Commission because the General Commission came to Parliament, came to their Oversight Committee, and gave a summarized report, which we felt was not reflective of the report that we have presented, unfortunately. Now, I don't want to now say that we are picking a bone with the General Commission here. It is not our intention, and we are not going to do that because we have a very good partnership now that we have established with the Gender Commission, with the Commission for Gender Equality. In fact, we've agreed that we are going to try and have monthly meetings since February. We've not been able to achieve that because of scheduling difficulties, but there have been two meetings already in this year, three meetings in this year already between us and the Commission for Gender Equality. Because we've made an appeal to the Commission for Gender Equality that some of the challenges that we are facing are issues that we will also like the Gender Commission voice to be added to our voices within. And therefore, we need for them to partner with us in reaching the targets that we need to reach in football. But this essentially, Chair, I only unfortunately made two copies of this document. Members are more than welcome to go through it, to duplicate it and do whatever, and then study it and see what it is that we presented to the Commission for Gender Equality versus what was presented to Parliament initially. And therefore, we are able to respond to it. But there are a number of things that we've since done with the Commission for Gender Equality as well, Chair.
Are we happy?
Yes.
Yes.
everything publicly, because really we need the information and allow the information to respect in that fight. And it's not going to help us to use this body code from the Commission of Gender Equality, because you say they have more to tell us that we can conflict with what we have been told before. So we need to have that, to see that the reader says. Then by going quick through the slide, it's going to compromise us. I don't know how we're going to say that, but really, we need to engage very seriously. Unless we go straight through the questions or whatever, because we have very much interest in this issue.
There is a
proposal.
Thank you. I think I'm in more agreement with your proposal, because the difficulty with this is it then makes our interrogation very lousy, because it's not based on engaging with the content. And that can portray us in a very bad light. And when we accept the genuine explanation that oversight does happen, I think the sentiment throughout from this committee was that we wanted a far more robust discussion on all efforts with regard to women's football. And it's unfortunate that now we're here, but I think in a much more proactive approach would be, we definitely need another engagement, particularly on women's football, so that this does not become an additional issue, because it's an issue of priority for the committee.
Yeah, I said your initial proposal makes sense, because we have been given a report as well by the Gender Commission chair, because it has been circulated to us. So the combination of that report and what it is presented, and the fact that they are here, we can pose whatever question, because what we are dealing with is an ongoing engagement that we are going to have, both with the CDC as well as staff, because our work is ongoing.
The full report, and then I cannot allow members to reflect on what she can be told us, and I cannot not allow the members to take questions and then understanding after Natasha also reflected on the issues on the agenda. But it really needs us that next time when we're calling them, we open the discussion. We noted that the teams reached the level board, but we have responses from the people who did come and complain about the gender issues, that Ustrapa is not doing ABC, but they responded here. But the detail of the report from Ustrapa, we want it. And if there are members who wanted to post questions without that resolution, I will allow another members. I'm suspecting that we are shrinking, we are all interested in the gender issue. That's why immediately that we got that support from GGE, we decided that Ustrapa must come and tell us. So with that note,
according to our agenda. Now, this is the time for the discussion, qualities, suggestions. Sometimes, as this committee, we do discuss and we do put some of the combination for us. This very much seems that we are lacking. You must allow us to do that. Honorable members, can we welcome the unofficial deputy chair, who ahead when sometimes through your limitation of your membership, deputy chair, that from other committees can end up with us. We are welcoming you. Honorable members, this is the time for discussion. Abstaining deputy chairperson, Honorable Malati, unofficial
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. One of the challenges that I have mentioned is that there is no professional league for Banyana Banyana. Then I would like to find out from where. Because I have seen perhaps that this professional league is a fit, because in the case of Mafana Mafana, it has not a fit. Perhaps in the any players, but they could any players perhaps in case hasn't do things differently from what the professional league for Mafana Mafana is doing, because we're not taking enough success, we're just losing everything. If the first chance for that not to be different, I'd like to take a reason on that. Then again, she spoke about the full time, which was the full time layers. One, perhaps if they've got, they can manage that. Because we don't have enough money, as I go. Perhaps in the future, this does not have the full time, so that they get sort of payment fully. Those are some of the questions. Well, challenges. I want to tell challenges on those three issues. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. I've got two questions for now. I just want to find out from the CEO with regard to the status of the ongoing dispute between SAPA and SASWA. With regards to jurisdiction over school sports. At the last court appearance, the issue was referred for private arbitration. If we can get an update as to what that position is and the implications of that, you know, jurisdiction being ratified, more so for the mandate that you have and the frustration you expressed with regards to penetration, more so Model 3 high schools. And secondly, to establish from the head of the technical team, that with regards to our Olympic performance and the resources that we've put into both the under 22 males team and the women's senior team, and I thought that one of the objectives was to probably get a bronze medal. What is SAPA's review of that performance in line with the target? Because we didn't make it post the group stages. And more particularly so with regards to the under-23 male team, which was, you know, probably one of the most talented teams the country's produced in Iran and leading up to that. And to come to a point where, what is SAPA's plans, if any, with regard to the establishment of the women's team? Because the language, again, and the frustration one gets from reading the document and following comments from the SAPA leadership on the issue is that there is a need for one. And having a need for one is an acknowledgement that there is a problem. But working on a solution to address the problem in something that is really the presentation, there's no anticipated target as to say by 2022, in line with our vision 2022, we aim to have established a professional women's league. Because the language here, exactly, we are frustrated beyond finding a solution on this issue.
because what you allude to is the issue of frustration with sponsorship with regard to a women's issue. But more so, you know, TRAP has been before this committee before, alluding to the effect of additional sponsorship, particularly with TV rights and how that will help leverage women's aim towards a professional area. But I'm not getting any statement of intent with regard to a timeline to say by this time we would have established a women's league. Because, and contrary to my belief, I think from anyone who follows football, contrasting by another performance, you can argue that even where they are and the resources that they have and the space that they contest in, they've done well based on where they are. But for us to break into the league of the top women nations in the world, we can't be comparing apples with bananas because the markets are different. But as the Federation responds to this, what is our timeline beyond the frustration? Because we all understand that, and it's been a topical issue for as long as there's been a women's national team. Is what are we doing currently to set up a professional women's league, and what are the timelines with the establishment of what? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable. All the best, I want to add and one clarification that we have got problems with committee of the school sport, and I'm happy that we are talking to physical education, but we want to hear from you because very soon, if it's not this next week, we'll be meeting with them. We want to hear from you your relationship and the understanding of why it is like this in this former model schools. Because if we're getting from you and we're saying that you do meet with them, we want, when we're discussing, to get what is your problem exactly when you're meeting with the basic education. Because it's between two of you that you must have a plan that things must change, not be like this. So we want to hear from you when we meet them with understanding that maybe what have you tried to assist, what is the real obstacles. We are very concerned about this thing. The next member is honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let us welcome this from Stafford. So, I've got a couple of questions and concerns. The number one is, under Makuri Kamara Municipality, as Kukule in the book, there is a zonal league for the villages, and there is local league that is getting promoted from the village level, then you go to the local. But what is happening there? These clubs or the teams, no one is considering anything but transportation. They have to donate transport. The kids, they have to buy their own clothing. The referees see so that the game can get on. They have to donate together for those things. So, but that is Stafford local league. How does it happen? These kids are the parents are not working at all. Then we, but really, no one is caring for them. Nothing. So maybe I'll get a good explanation from Stafford to be what's happening. Because we can see the Stafford cars from Stafford offices around there. But how can we supply the office, but not into the sports directly. Okay, the next one is around the CEC report. I'm a bit surprised by and after 4 years, you got the report from CEC. You're only starting to plan what can you do to implement those concerns or to correct those concerns from CEC by that time. because this is the report of 2012, isn't it? So 2012 till now, and this year, only this year, at least we're having meetings with them. After they came here, then we need no support. Why does women, footballers, are taking the last seriousness from us? Because it shows it was not a concern for on your side. It seemed only a concern because Parliament is making noise about it. Okay, let's talk about the sponsorship. This report, or this response from CGE, it says SAFA is planning to secure a sponsorship for women football. But my question now is, isn't SAFA one soccer body in South Africa? And when they get the sponsors, are the sponsors saying, we only give you this money for male players only, not for ladies? Because you can't say it's some that caters for women and men. But when it comes to politicians, it's different now. You're still trying to get something for them because you have less for them and more for men. How are you taking issue of gender equality discussion? You cannot be equal when coming to play in a project, but when coming to financial, we are not equal. And here is that kind of sponsor that says, I don't want my money to be used for women, only for men. You must tell us about that sponsor. You must know if that sponsor that going only for me, because if it's a sponsor, I sponsor SAFA. And SAFA has to decide how it's going to allocate money for the development of sports in also in South Africa. And that should not take any gender discrimination.
And
one more thing, Chairperson. I want SAFA to be frank and transparent. How much the basics, I'm not talking about best players, or how much basic payment are you making to the Banyana football players, and how much are you giving to the fellow Mohamed fan? So that we can know how serious are you taking and the measure of this issue of gender equality in our country in this 22 years of our democracy. We get it here on this report that in all levels of management there's no person of disability in these 22 years of the era. I mean, it's a question. We are from private companies. We were fighting in top. Fighting against those private business people. But here we have public entity that cannot implement Equity Act. That is implementing Equity Act. Why, by this time, SAFA doesn't ignore people with disability? The structures of the offices in the private sector, as you know, we used to push them to reveal them so that they can be able to accommodate people who are with wheelchairs and all that, so that they can tell us it's upstairs, don't go there and all that. But if it has to be there, why can't it be here? We must take a lead. I'm just very, very sorry, Mr. Tasha, because you said the women's football is compromised by the fact that there's no professional league. But I mean all the years. Right. All the years. People, let us stop singing gender equality when we try to impress people that let us respect women in cash. Thank you very much.
But I'm telling you, you can't even touch any of the substitute when you're there. If to greet them, they can ignore you, it doesn't matter who you are. Although I don't want them to treat me like a committee member, I'm working with them. But I'm telling you the attitude is not a very good one. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you for the presentation. My questions are as follows. I thought it would have been useful if you also indicated the sources of income. It might be a detail that I want to maybe somewhere else, but for us, it becomes useful if we know what are the sources of income. Some of the questions have been covered, because I mean, given that the Bush, Banyana, and Bafana, have just returned, how did you pay them? Is there clarity on how you pay them? Because it is important that you clarify that. Because if really you are discriminating, in kindergarten, you need to correct them. If you are not discriminating the teams, never mind how they are sponsored financially or how they are paid by their own class. So if we can get that to them. My first question is, it might be useful for us to understand where are your development leads. So that if we want to track, we can be in a position to get to so. Because sometimes if you can see there are so many developmental leads and we don't know where they are, we can't track whether that thing is there or it's not there. I hope you are also ensuring that you transform in accordance with the local political alignment. Because municipality is now unable to spend, which means you need to align yourself with it. But I can see your regions are quite gay. They are more than even the number of municipalities that we have. So there is one particular question that has been asked by my colleague, Honorable Manana, here. But it's quite urgent because there is a FIFA gigabit project in KZN. What is that?
B5.
Not so to with B5. That project is highly utilized because it's an artificial test. But the problem is the ownership of the land. That chef who owns that piece of land is abusive. Because we thought it might be useful that we should ensure that we can clarify the ownership of that particular land. Because that is the only chef, artificial chef, that is being utilized. But sometimes he loves, sometimes he does not use everybody because he owns that land. So we think it might be useful that we could engage with the FIFA chart so that we can get into the resolution of that particular part. When other questions have been covered, because the area around the school sport is very dear to us. We hope you are part of the joint committee because in terms of the current, you are supposed to be part of the joint committee with respect to the department as well as education and other stakeholders in terms of federation. But I'm also interested in this fight between yourself and SASWA. Because we thought it's unable, you all agree that you must now take over the responsibility for school sports but it looks like that problem is not there. So we are really worried about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. After the sports and education committee, when it comes to the national discourse of values, that committee that I have mentioned, they are passionate about the transformation, they are passionate about the issues of sport. And let me take this opportunity as helping honorable members that this is very much out. Because your contribution is going to reflect even to the leadership who is here, what do you want? And when I bring up a child, that's why you must come back and tell you what one is coming back. Some of us were in English netball players. And I'm always saying that I used to be GP number 7, the friend of the network. And I'm repeating this, that you must remember. And sometimes when Sasko is here, they will be that I'm a mother of Lobo. This committee, we must tell you that today was that murder because of this committee. When this committee researcher saw article, he did come to my office and we had to try and check where Louvo stayed and we discovered. And this committee, every now and then, when whoever is here will always ask me, what are you doing about Louvo? And today we are proud of that. So when sometimes we're harsh, that we're seeing some things that are not well. Take it that we are really leaders of the community. It was not easy with that board. It even took us and saw us where the tick is sold. And I did come and report to this committee. And paying to the department, the first call, that this transformation. I'm suspecting all of the members who must not take very light this question of gender. We must do what we're doing. I was worried. Thank you, Honorable Malaki, Honorable Mutelka, that we didn't leave this COVID. Because I know you are amongst our own selves, but we want to see this sport doing right thing after 22 years. But immediately that some of you think that by differing with some things, we may just leave this room. For what good reason? So the relevant questions that we have imposed here, they are very, very important for some of us will be in the sport. Natasha, not boy, try to get there. Those ladies are very committed like this community that they want to show the world that they can do as women. So, Safa, you are with us. If maybe we need to go to other doors, knock that things must happen for this Banyana Banyana. We are all yours. We have heard this honorable members. Gender it's not just a word gender. We want to see it implemented by whoever. You said you are going to do the reduction of colleges from 28 to 9. What informed you? Why were committees 28 and now if they are 9, are they going to do justice to the presentation on what is proper? I'm sitting here and imagine that the day that we are reducing committees in this parliament, are we going to do justice I want to check if because of financial implications that we have produced, but from 28 to 9, what are we going to achieve? That's the thing, but really, I'm thinking that my honorable member, some other people, they were thinking that Henry Jiffer in some other issues were not together in the community. This is a robust community. When you talk of sport, they know why they are here. I tell you. Any intake in the sponsors?
Chair, I am going to ask different members of the delegation to respond, but I've taken, I think, most of the questions, and hopefully I'll be able to answer, or we will be able to answer as many of these as possible, and then if, with your permission, we'll just exchange amongst us to who, then we'll take certain elements of the response. Perhaps I didn't take names of the members as a response, so I'll just respond directly to the question. On the SASPA matter, Chairperson, the association, when it examined or when it put together its Vision 2022 program, we arrived at many ways in which we can improve our football in country, and then determine a plan that will take us there with, under new leadership of the association from 2013 onwards. The two areas that we were very clear on that would help us to expand the numbers in accordance with the best practice and the best learning experiences that we've managed to gain in other countries, where those countries where more or about 10% or more of the population play football tend to be also very successful because of the talent pool that's available to them. And so Vision 2022 has two fundamental elements. One is that it needs to, three fundamental elements. One is that we need to be in the top three on the African continent on a consistent basis. We need to be in the top 20 in the world on a consistent basis. And we need to expand the numbers of people who play football in the country. And by that, we meant that we need to expand into school system, and therefore the partnership with the Department of Basic Education and SRSA to make that happen. The second part of that was expansion into and expanding the numbers of women who participate in the game, because that is really going to help us grow our sport. And so our plans are then basically hashed accordingly. The plan for women's football, unfortunately, and we're ready to come back next week, next month, or whenever the committee wants us to, and perhaps only come and address the women's football issue in a greater detail than I think we've done today, because there's quite a bit that we've done since the 2012 report. Unfortunately, you know, things have moved so much from the 2012 conditions to now, because at the time when we made the report to the Gender Commission, SAFA was initiating its transformation program. Its governance transformation program, the gender issue took a lot more of a serious turn, and so therefore a lot of things have changed, and which is what we tried to encapsulate in the presentation, and why we were continuing to engage the Gender Commission. But coming back to the SASPA issue, when we said we now needed to solidify the relationship with the Department of Basic Education, the association said all schools' football organizations must be integrated into the association structures around the country. Because our member at the time, SASPA, was only present in, and we got conflicting reports from them. In one report, they said they were organizing football in 3,000 schools. In another, they say they were organizing 6,000 schools around the country. We gave them the benefit of the doubt, and we accepted the 6,000 number. But we said that was still not enough, given that there are 27,000 schools in the country, and we needed to extend way beyond that. And the only way to do that is to collapse all of those structures into, or integrate all of those into our existing structures around the country, the 52 regions and 343 local football associations. And It was our hope that we could get Kaspa on board to assist us. We met with them in April and last year. We met again with them, I think, a month later. But they rejected that approach. They said they wanted to remain separate. They didn't want to work within the SAFA structure, countrywide in the local football associations and in the regional football associations. We then took a very deliberate decision that regardless of what their opinion was at that time, because we tried to get them involved, they chose not to assist us on that. We then decided we must move now and really take over school football. That matter then went to, they asked for this matter to go to arbitration. In arbitration, all members have accepted there's a particular process that you have to follow to go to arbitration. They rejected that process, and we could not change it because this is how it's articulated in our constitution. They chose to go to court, and unfortunately, the court decided in one way which we are not satisfied with, and that matter right now, as we speak, is under appeal. We don't know when the appeal is going to be heard, but we are forged ahead in continuing to organize schools football because our legal advice is the appeal itself stays the lower court order. Because the lower court order was very confusing. We did not know what the court order said because it was so badly written. It's terribly written. And when I say terribly written, it is really terribly written, Chairperson. I don't know how a judge could written such a decision. First, in one paragraph you do this, and in the next paragraph they contradict what you just said in the previous paragraph. So the only way we could do is to take this thing on appeal. It is currently on appeal, and we are awaiting the hearing. But as I said, the appeal has the effect of staying the court order, and so we are continuing to roll out the school's football program, Chair, and that thing is well underway. We are going to all of the 9 provinces. The game of Setback Cup is underway as we speak. The under 13, under 15 leagues, we have now said that those leagues must be played in the school system and come under the jurisdiction of the school system, and that is underway, Chair. I don't know if that is fine in terms of the relationship with SASPA, Chairperson.
No. We'll take a follow-up question, so please, let's take notes if you want further clarification. You can continue.
Yeah, and then the second one is the Professional League for Women. I don't know, maybe one of our colleagues could respond to that. We have been in the market. I can start out by saying that we have appointed a new marketing agent as of the 1st of June of this year, and they feel that they are properly equipped to secure a sponsorship for a women's league. How that will come, it's going to take a couple of months, Chair, but there's an active program to try and get this women's league sponsored. Yes, it is necessary, and yes, a professional women's league will make a difference. And you can see in the manner in which we spent our resources, 27 million rand for banana preparation and 9 million rand for the men's team preparation. The reason is because they don't play in a professional league. They don't get proper and enough game time week in and week out for them to be able to play at that higher level. So when they come into camp, the coach of banana has to do a whole lot more, work with the players, because they come from much lower leagues. So their preparation, the physical fitness, their diet, and the level of the coaching they receive is not of the same standard where it can succeed in international football. But that's let me hand over to my leadership, the chair of the technical committee, and Ms. Raba, and I'm sure some of the other colleagues can also contribute to that on this particular item.
I think it's very important, first of all, to see what is a professional league. We are custodians of football in South Africa as association, and of course a professional league normally it's an entity. So there we have to see how we can create a professional league and how much involved we can be according to FIFA statutes of professionalism. However, Madam Chair, the problem is finances, money is finance, and when it comes to women, unfortunately, we are the biggest consumers, but it's always the less paid people, when I say from the companies itself. I mean, years ago to companies myself, and I saw the difference, what is happening out there. This is what we have to change, that perception. So basic, when they come for a sponsorship, and you can start from FIFA, from CAF, you will see all along in sports they come and they say we want to sponsor a league, but we want a men's league, or we want the under 17, under 23. The excuse is that supporters, they come to watch more, the men's team than the women's. But this is not correct. When it comes to Banyana Banyana, we know we have a full house all the time. So this is in our country, women, people, they are very excited to watch women's football. We have our plans to detail how much even each player is going to get paid, how much it costs, how many coaches, because we want to engage all women coaches as per our decision. It's only using women coaches for our women's national teams. Talking about this when it comes to professional league, we're going to develop women coaches as well, because we have 38 licensed, and at this present moment we have FIFA coaching courses taking place. So we have many A-licensed women, top licensed women in our country. But by having a team, by working and take a team, there will be more. This is where the experience is coming from. So professional league is very, very important when it comes to the women's football. The issue is, number one, how we're going to have this entity, but in under staff, of course, because we'll find out, unfortunately, that professional clubs are not interested to have the teams. So therefore, we have to do it ourselves. Because it would be fantastic if we had the top names of clubs having also a women's team as well. If you mention the excitement. So therefore, it is a challenge, Madam Chair. It's a big challenge. And the development is there. The plan is there. It's everything. The clubs, how many teams, how much each team, how much each player, everything is there. It's just that, as I say, it takes us time to find a sponsor. And this is the biggest problem that we're facing. And this is exactly where I say that we take example of certain other countries just because they manage already to do that. And I'm not going to say apple or bananas. Well, in life, we're going with what is best. If you, what is the best example? I remember years ago, Madam Chair, we went to America because it was the perception they are the best team in the world. You know, they came to us also. We also invited them. And we learned so much from us. And it's fantastic, this changes of culture, relationship, ideas. So we're doing that with many countries. It's very important for us to grow. But still, we're coming back to the same problem. We need money in order to progress. And this is the truth of the matter.
Chairperson and honorable members, just to add to what Ms. Sheila indicated in terms of the professional league, I think we all know that the professional league is run by PSL. PSL is a custodian of the professional league. They run the professional side of the league, and SAFA runs the amateur. So when we speak about the professional league, we are very careful to say where should this professional league fall into? Is it the responsibility of the South African Football Association, or is it the responsibility of the professional league to enforce? Because we are the custodian of football, we have to give license to all the Premier Soccer League teams. Maybe it's an opportunity for the South African Football Association with this license to be able to enforce and say, with you running the professional league, you must also have the woman professional league. But we are not leaving it there. As she has indicated, we have seen our financial status suffer to run through sponsors. That's the bottom line. We don't have money where we get money from our own sources. We have just acquired the academy where we think that academy will generate some money for us, where we can utilize that money that we get from the our own academy to be able to take that money and use it for our women. We are very concerned as women in that organization that year in, year out, you see the Banyana qualifying for the World Cup, for the Olympic, qualifying for the World Cup. But if you look at, I think I'll also touch on the issue of the performance at the Olympic. If you look at the 2012 performance of London and look at the margin, how they lost, and look at the performance now, although we have loved to go into the next stage, but we must not forget that all those three teams that we're playing are in the top six of the world. We are almost 57 down there, but we are able to take out Nigeria and Ghana and Cameroon. They were not in the Olympics this year. It was only two southern, which we must be proud of, the southern region teams, which is South Africa and Zimbabwe, went to participate in the Olympics, which I believe it was a great, and I think the performance there tells a story that we have improved. If we can hold a team like Brazil to 0-0, it tells you that Sweden lose 5 to the same team. So when we look at the performance, I think we need that professional league. Indeed, it is something that will make our girls, one, motivated. Remember, we have the Southern League, which plays as a provincial league, but then the challenge is that you playing that that social league year in, year out, there's no promotion. You know the PSL are motivated because there's a promotion and relegation. So we have reached a stage where our girls, Janine, for example, the captain of Banyana, she has played in that league, she has gone to the playoff year in, year out. There's nothing more for her to give except to play in the senior national team. But if we have a professional league, and as she has indicated, there are plans that we have put in place, but our biggest challenge is to get funding. Yes, I hear Honorable Manal is talking about the companies that are actually doing produce products for women that we use on a monthly basis with no excuse. It is a matter that we raise with FIFA and say, if FIFA, the world governing body, cannot be able to get sponsors from those particular, it tells something else. It says there is a difficulty, not only in South Africa, but there is a difficulty also in the world where all those companies that we know we are supporting as women are not coming to the party. And we are not dictative. We know companies want value for their money. They always say this is what we want, but the bottom line is that as SAFA, we are engaged every year in, year out to try and make sure that we have a sponsor for women professional league. And we must also applaud SAFA. You know, SAFA has come to the party, they've been there, they've supported women. That is why we have what we have. Again, I think it was important for us to have gone through that presentation of gender equality, although you said it will come at the next day. But there is also one important factor that I think the committee should be aware of, that SAFA from 2004, they have put a program that we are paying over millions and millions of rand to the University of South Africa, where we, every year in, year out, we identify 25 players trying to empower the national team. Those players are from the age of 14 up to the age of 19. And if you look at the team that was the elite, we had a 16-year player. That cut, I think 10 of the players in that team came from that academy. They are paid for their school by SAFA. They are accommodated there from 2004 up to today. That program has been giving us almost 80% of the national team players that we are going to the World Cup with under 17. We went we qualified now for the Cup for Cameroon, for Africa Cup of Nations with the guests. If you look at those girls, most of them, they come from that academy. So we are saying we have an academy of our own. Probably we have more numbers. In that presentation, we would have shown you that we want the number to increase. 25 is a small number for the women of this country. But it is important that we can only do as much as our budget. We cannot, you have seen we have already exceeded our budget with, you know, 46 this year. It's because we are trying to put up programs that we simply do not have and hope that we'll get a sponsor at some point or other. But I think it is important for members to know that this is a thorny issue for us, that we need to have that professional league. Even if it's not a it's not called a professional league, it can be called like the ABC, which is our number one, our senior league that goes promoted to the first division. Maybe we should have the ABC Motive league for girls, but we know that they are the professional league. Those are just some of the challenges that we are having in terms of whether this committee can assist us and look at the professional league and say, professional league, what are you doing? I mean, there are teams. I mean, Bloemfontein Celtics, for example, they've got a team. Sundowns has got a team. There are other teams in the professional league that are actually having teams. And if you look at the teams, the players that are playing in the national team right now, I think I can comfortably say five of them come from Sundowns, five of them come from Bloemfontein Celtics, five of them come from Janine's team. Janine's team is a team that plays on its own, but she has got a lot of players that are playing in that team. So you have some professional league teams that are, and I think it is important for the committee to also assist us in making, in assisting us to say, professional league, what is it that you are doing for women's football? Can't you have, with all those billions that you are getting from Super Sports, can't you have this kind of a league that would help develop women's football in our country? Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, there's a lot of questions that we must still go through, so I'm going to try and run through as quickly as possible because I see the time.
You know, the last contribution, it made us shivering and agitated to ask more questions. But at the end of her contribution, did come at least, but I'm suspecting honorable members were not going to do our point number two. We want to do justice. I will give you a follow-up questions. I'm feeling something that it must be done, and it's not. No one is saying that there's nothing so far. We know that the department is assisting. We know that we are saying that we are trying to assist. I can't. This is 22 years down the line. When I was GK, it was during apartheid. But even today, we're talking like that about women's netball, which is so important. This gender question, we must assist and we must come clean and we want that to be, Father, give us clear recommendations, or else we are not going to be calling you every now and then. After 32 years, we are still trying to check whether we want the league. Why is the league of soccer and others, no PSL and SAFA? I want a clarification on that one. Why at this age, 22 years? We do understand that even departments did tell how much they are doing, and we are contributing, telling us how much we are giving them. We want league for netball. And nothing else that we want is this. We want a league for netball. And we must come, even if in a workshop, call us and tell us a recommendation, in order that we all are a workshop, your good self and our department, and then recommendation must be there, and we must give you time frames. We cannot take it. Honorable members, there's all. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
No. I'm trying to see what I'm actually thinking, what you are doing, which is not enough. Not enough for me. We are all here, gender equity. You know what it is? It is not about women. It's about women and men. Just understand that together we can do that. This needs marking. Then we need a defense. But if they are hiccups, we need to know. Also, I don't get why a woman is not.
My colleague tried the utmost to emphasize how the association, you know, is doing in terms of promoting and developing women's football. And I think I will just be downplaying it, because the reality of the situation is we are doing quite a lot to advance women's football. I think if you look into our documents, and I'm just happy also that our own women within the region just explained. Now, I'm just happy that they started to emphasize that, yes, the association is doing its utmost best. Indeed, that's what we are doing. If you look even at the amount that we spend in terms of preparing for Banyama Banyana going to the Olympics, you look at the difference there. The key thing here is, yes, we need funding. We cannot overemphasize this. Now, the problem for me, we need to have a paradigm shift, especially in the mind of our business community. Because the business people, because as we all know, I think it was overemphasized here, and we're talking to people that are competent, understand how sports operates, is that, unfortunately, we're not saying that manufacturers a certain product and then we sell to a guaranteed income. Depend, of course, on the business community, you know, we depend on sponsorship for us to make sure that our programs are in place. Now, what I do not understand in our country is that there are so many, and I think the Honorable Madam Manana, I think, alluded to it, we've got these products, women's products, and these companies make billions of rands and sustain this country. But it's strange that they cannot find it in them to sponsor some of this money, you know, to women's sports. And they will talk football specifically. Now, the CEO, I think, made a point to say, we've now appointed a company who has now committed themselves to make sure that, because our ask them, and the money is clear, please prioritize sponsorship for women's football. And we've got the commitment, so probably just need to give them a bit of time. But we're not folding our arms and sitting in our letters waiting for them to do it. We're doing the little that we have. We set that structure in place. Because one, you need to create interest for the others. You know, football, we all know that boys are quick to go and play this game. You can throw a ball in the street. The first one to arrive at that ball will be a boy and a girl. Now you need to create that interest. Now, in creating that interest, we have a lot of challenges within our different communities, and some are cultural also, where women, some parents and because of certain cultures, don't really promote their girls to go and play women's football. So it's a challenge that is there at local level that we have. Now, when we look at the SAFA as a whole, in terms of how do we promote and make sure that Bafana Bafana becomes consistent and they are the, and they have become the team that we all envisage. One of the problems identified in SAFA was a structural problem that we did not have. So let us put structures in place. And as we do that, make sure there's women and there's boys in all these structures. And I think we're doing quite well in terms of that. We have now under 13, under 15, both boys and girls happening at local level in the 341 MAs that we spoke about here. That's now your local municipalities. We have regions. Almost in all our regions, we have women teams that are participating in the province social league, and then we've got also the regional women leagues in all the 52 regions. Now, the reality is, in terms of now, at least, because some of these players, when they look themselves, and there's an example by Madame Maria of Janine, that she feels that I've not reached a ceiling because I'm playing in the social provincial league. After that, I'm going to Banyana. What next for me? There's nothing. When it comes to men, you play at LFA 11, you play at the regional league, SAD league, you play at the ABC Mutlet, that's your provincial league, and you can please go and play the first division. You can play PSL. Now, it encourages them, and there's a lot of interest to play, because they are going to go and go on and on and on, up until you decide the player goes and play international football. That's the kind of structures we need to put for women's football. Now, there was a question about, I think it's from the honorable member, Moteka. Why, when you got these sponsorships, it does not allocate, don't get an allocation for women's football? I think it's important that we must respond to that question. In the past, SASFA used to sponsor the under-23s. It was very clear, under-23s, men football. Now, unfortunately, some sponsors come with those terms, and you really deliver on that. Now, this time around, SASFA is sponsoring strictly women's football, and they are very clear where their money is going, women's football. Now, many of the sponsors that we receive this summer, they are very clear as to where those monies must go to. In as much as we would like, when we do a sponsor, at least a certain percentage of that must go to us. But what we do as SAFA, we give all our 52 regions in this country what we call the grants. Now, when we give them those development grants, we make sure that 13% of that grant must strictly go to women's football. That's because that's our money. We can dictate there. Like from the legacy trust fund, we dictate 10 there from our grants. So much percentage must go to women's football. And it's always more than the rest. So that's how serious we are in terms of women's football. But I think we must go further. Somebody was saying the PSL must be approached, PSL must come on board. It cannot be the committee to go to the PSL. SAFA must lead it. We must go to the PSL. I must confess here that we do receive a grant from the PSL. We do receive it from the PSL. It's not enough, but at least it's something they do give us. Now, we need to go to the PSL and SAFA. I think we must make that commitment to say, I think it's high time that we go in the process, because that's where a lot of money is. Now, we need to go to the PSL and discuss this question. PSL number 5. And what is nice, and it's going to be a lot of advantage, most PSL teams have got women football. So surely it cannot be a problem for the PSL to either increase that or to make a special fund to assist in the creation of this professional league. Members of this committee, it is very much important for us to have a professional league of women in this country if we want really to make sure that Banyana Banyana is able to compete with the rest in the world. Without that league alone, you can see how far they can go. They can compete there. Imagine if we are to create a professional league. There will be a team to beat in this world. If they have the talent, they will score it. Now, somebody maybe is asking a question. We have 50 plus million in this country. But yet, we are struggling to beat a team with 10 million. 1 million. We struggle. Why? It is only because in the past, we had the problem, as I said earlier on, our structures. But if you look at our junior national team since the new leadership in 2018 and 2013, and us putting those structures in place, emphasizing the importance of this vision 2022, you can see what we did with our junior national teams. I mean, everybody knows it. Under 17 qualified for the World Cup, under 20 qualified, Mayana qualified, the Olympics qualified, because we have to address the structures on the ground. But we need funding, and SAFA needs, we cannot overemphasize funding. The challenge with us, you can't compare us with rugby and cricket. Those, because of history, we all know, I cannot lecture you on what happened in our past history. And that is why we are still laying behind. But we cannot always refer to the past all the time. Let me understand, we need to be doing something. And that is exactly what we are doing. But if the business community out there is reluctant to assist us, the question will always be asked. But you have so much number of people that you cannot afford to do this. It's because we cannot afford to reach everywhere because of the funding that we have. Well, our country is huge. But remember, this country is huge. We must be able to reach all corners of this country. Somebody was talking, Unkanyagudi, our development center in Unkanyagudi. Unkanyagudi, so I was there. When we launched that program, fortunately I was there when we launched that program. Now, Unkanyagudi is far. Now, yes, indeed, we need to address the problem that was raised. We need to address that problem. I think it's about the ownership of the problem. Because it's effective, but sometimes it's not, because our people can't always access it when they need to access it because of that problem. So we are denying a lot of people an opportunity. So we need to address that problem. I'm happy that it came now to our attention because I wasn't aware. So I'm happy that it came to our attention. Quickly, trying to respond to some of these questions because of time. There was an issue about, I think Mariam raised the issue, the attitude problems of our regions in Puma. It's good that you brought it to us. SAFA is huge. They are representing us. They are our face there. It's important that we address this problem. Maybe you did not probably explain it as to how this attitude, because sometimes we need to, when we confront, we must explain. But this attitude problem, I think we must explain it. It must be more explained. But it's something that we're taking it light, because those people are representing us. Either the SAFA structure, anywhere in this country, that's the face of South African football. So we need to address that problem. So we definitely take it up. And then the other issue I want to touch on quickly also is the issue of why are we taking, because there was a question as to why are we taking, that question was addressed, it's the general issues about the establishment of the professional league. But yes, that's the point. The review of the Olympic team, people were asking, I think it's Mr. Malak who asked the question. Look, the teams came back. As you know, in any federation, you've got coaches there, and a technical team. That technical team must still come back into SAFA. Still waiting. They must come in the report, give us a holistic report as to what happened there. Why did things not go the way we want to? Yes, we watch. Yes, we know. But they must still come back because they are impacted. So that then we are paying this. So it's important for us to get a report first from both technical teams, the coaches by Yana as well as the under 23s. They must admit that report is going to the technical committee, because they must go and report to the technical committee. That's our protocol. It's going to be processed there. They are going to be engaged there, and there will be a recommendation from the technical committee to the national executive committee. It's only then that the NEC will then take a position based on the recommendations of the technical committee. For now, I think we must have allow them to come and present their case. And I thought them as to what is going to happen. I think that would be unfair. But that is the process that's going to take place then, Chair. Those technical committees, they will now go and present to the technical committee. They will be engaged there. The National Executive Committee will then expect a recommendation from, of course, the technical committee, and then we will then take it from there as well. And I think, I'm not too sure whether there's any others that I've left, because I've tried to cover as many, because I'm already covered by the previous speaker, sorry.
I'll run through the other questions, Chair. I took a note of all of them because I don't want for members to leave and feel like we haven't answered questions that they've asked. Our Vice President has responded to the review. That review will take place on Saturday, the 10th of September, so it's 2 weeks from now. We have also asked the court just to come in a day early to engage with our technical task team, which are some of the top coaches in the PSL, to also sit and help us with the review on the performance of the national teams at the Olympics. Yes, we are not happy, and I think we must state it for the record, we are not happy with the performance at the Olympic Games, despite the fact that these are two teams that qualified. We expected better, and that's what we're going to dissect in this technical committee meeting that takes place on the 10th of September. In the issue of funding and how TV rights will help leverage for women's football, that's precisely what we are using now. It's the TV money to subsidize Banyana Banyana. The sponsorship for Banyana Banyana is not that amount that you see in the report from us. So the shortfall is actually funded from that television revenue. So that's how we're really leveraging the television revenue for our other national teams. And it's not just Banyana Banyana that's not fully sponsored. It is also our other national teams. There's an under-17 girls national team. There's an under-20 women's national team. Neither one of those are sponsored. Then there's the under-17 boys national team. It's also not sponsored. And the under-20 men's national team, also not sponsored. So the bulk of our national teams are not sponsored because the sponsorship market no longer seems to want to invest in development. And that's a problem because they want a commercial return and you don't get a commercial return on development. That's the unfortunate situation that we're finding ourselves in. So we have a growth plan that we said we needed to embark on, you know, and not try and rely fully on sponsorships, but to generate our own revenue through our social media platforms and other commercial products. This is why we appointed a commercial agent now, so that we can raise more money in a different way from sponsorship, because the sponsorship market is no longer there for us. And so we need to think differently about how we raise money. And what is the problem, Madam Chair? You asked about the specific problem with the Model C schools. The Model C schools, if you'll allow us, we can give you some very specific issues. But one of the key issues, the stumbling block that we came across, was the conduct of the school governing bodies. Unfortunately, it's the school governing bodies that determine the sports that are played in these former Model C schools. And since they are full control, and I know even in Parliament there was an attempt to try and curtail the powers of both, and it still hasn't happened in the Portfolio Committee here in Parliament. So to the extent that this committee can assist us to address that issue about those school governing bodies taking the right decisions, because schools are being transformed in the country. Pretoria goes high on Friday. Those things are changing. And so the schools, unfortunately, some schools are not changing with the times. You can't continue to ask girls to go and straighten their hair when their hair grows naturally. It's the same thing that if people want to play football in these schools, they are not given the opportunity to play football in schools. My own son's going to a high school around the corner from me that just flat out refuses to put a football program together, but they have raised 2 million rand recently to do a hockey field. Our national team coach's children went to the same school. We could convince the school to put a football program in place. I'm just using that as an example, but that's the kind of challenge that we are facing with these high schools who simply refuse to put football programs in place. Fortunately, we are making some headway. There is a program underway in Durban where there's a group that came together and brought 40 former Model C schools together, and they are playing in the league, which are now being affiliated to our region in Itakwini. And so even they, the guy who's organizing this, said, hey, I'm having difficulty convincing the other schools to also come on board. But at least they are starting to listen now, because we have 40 schools who are actually participating in this league. And but of the things that we said we need to do, we are aware that we are facing the challenges, and yes, perhaps there's a legislative answer to that, and maybe there's moral pressure and other kinds of pressure that can be put. But we will endeavor to inform the committee as much as possible about where we are with respect to our efforts. If I may just quickly jump to a question, this question about Mpumalanga and the attitude that, Chair, I think we have said to this committee, for all of our national team matches, this committee, I think, had a right to be at those matches. It has a right to be at those matches. And so to the extent that you need tickets, those tickets are available to you. And all you need to do is just let us know where and when, which matches it is that you want to be at. We will make those tickets available to you. I think we've done that before. So I'm a little shocked, and we are going to deal with that very seriously. If they are being denied access to our national team matches in areas, please let us know so that we can act against that we can act on that. But yes, we have made available where we have been requested, Chair. But that needs to be done through the national office from this committee. It may be the best thing to do, so that the national office can then, on behalf of this committee, intervene and make sure that these are made available, access is made available to football. I think, you know, this is a committee that oversees sport in this country, and we cannot be seen as football to be standing in the way of that happening, Madam Chair. So we will do something about that. The CGD report, Honourable Member, so we did not meet for 4 years. We have been engaging the Commission for Gender Equality. I was just referring to the number of meetings we had this year. We've engaged them previously, and we have exchanged with them on our views. There was only one sticking point, one sticking point on all of the issues that the Commission raised with us, and that was on the status of this South African Women's Football Association, where we said we have a fundamental disagreement with the Commission on trying to impose a member on the association, because unfortunately those people who took that organization's name did so illegitimately, and they had no right to do so, and will continue to resist that they had no right to take that name, Chair. The people who ran and established that organization many years ago came to SAFA to ask SAFA, please integrate us into SAFA structures. And then they decided on their own, we are going to do away with this organization called SAFA, the South African Women's Football Association, because we want to be integrated into SAFA. We did that in 1997, Chair. There's a group of people who then came in 2009, appropriated a name. They were not part of that old structure. And we proved it. In documentation, we proved that they were not members. They were not in there. They knew nothing of that SAFA. But they came and then asserted membership of SAFA. When they didn't have membership, they just took a name and said, now we want to get our membership. But then they ran to the commission to say to the commission that SAFA is discriminating against them. It was just not the truth. And that is a fundamental difference that we've had with the Commission for Gender Equality, Chair. We went back to CGE, and I think we have resolved that matter with CGE. We said, if you are an organization, whether you are, if you're a new organization, you took that name, come, there is a procedure for application for membership in our constitution. Follow that procedure. Our delegation went, I think 2 months ago, to the CGE, sat with those representatives again and said, please, here is the process, come to us and let us then see how we integrate you into SAFA structures. To this date, they still haven't come back to us, and we are still waiting on them now, but this was done through CGE, so the committee is obviously free to go to CGE and say, listen, is the truth of what SAFA is telling you? So that's the issue on the CGE. the sponsorship issue, I think the question is that the sponsorship market works in a particular way. Vice President has explained it. The sponsors have their own markets and they target certain areas that they want to build and get a commercial return on. In other cases, they will provide CSI and the special sponsorship. It's kind of a hybrid of commercial and CSI. Their concern is not so much a commercial return other than their commitment to women's football and women's issues. That's how SASL is staying with SAFA, because they are very, very committed to women's issues and sponsoring our national team and a provincial league. So then two spaces in football. And this is why we will forever be grateful to SASL for the kind of support that they give to women's football, because they have a different kind of commitment than any other sponsor. We will sit on the sponsorship, Aidan, and perhaps at a standard item on the agenda, but when we come to the commission, we will report on it, Jefferson. I think Mr. Malassi has asked if he didn't see targets. Yeah, and deadlines. We have set targets in the past. We have set deadlines in the past. We have not met any of those in terms of being able to acquire a sponsorship for that women's league. We put together a budget. It will cost us about 60 million rand to run a basic women's league. Decent salaries for players and coaches and structures and travel and logistics and all of those things. About 60 million rand is going to take us to run a professional women's league. Does that make us less committed? No. We know now what the target is. We've asked this agent to pull out and please prioritize this issue, as our vice president has said. So, honorable members, we really want to come and report to you, because I think there is a moral voice from this committee and perhaps a some governmental input. The minister said, hey, you know, I can't go and help the big sporting code. They must for now help themselves. My job here as the minister is get the smaller sporting codes up and running and get them properly situated. We understand that, of course, because the country also doesn't have unlimited funds. So we respect the minister's approach on this. I myself, I call them netball chairperson. I go to many of the Brutal Fruit Championships myself. Because, you know, we're good friends with netball, and we said we would try and assist as much as we can to also help to build in that space. So I've been to Durban, I've seen the Brutal Fruit Championship here in Johannesburg, and we are there, Chair, providing our moral support, and we understand the need for that to happen. And it has worked wonders. And therefore, it's very difficult for us to say to sponsors, listen, trust money, and we will reallocate that money internally. The sponsors come with a particular target. Mm-hmm. And we have done our research here, and perhaps we can come and assist and present that research on how the sponsorship market works now and what the possibilities are for that, so that perhaps there's something that we can work together on that. On the Echelon Park issue that Honorable Manana has raised, you know, for years we tried to get Essen Park. And up until the point where we bought the property that we have now, our National Technical Center, we want Essen Park. But we were told that Essen Park is off the market. Transnet was not going to dispose of that property. They dispose of all of their other sports properties around the country, not Essen Park. Essen Park would have been perfect for our needs. But now we are going to build our own center. We have fully paid for it. The grounds have been cleared. By the end of the year, we will have four fields there. We will have a gym, and we'll have, hopefully we can start our Olympic swimming pool there as well. And the idea is that we share this facility with other sporting codes as well. We've been to the city of Johannesburg to try and get some additional land adjacent to the land that we own, so that other sporting codes can also base themselves there, and we will share facilities with those sporting codes as well. You know, we've had discussions with the DG of Sport, and he is fully supportive of that effort and that approach as well. So we'll continue to pursue that. But yes, I wish if somebody comes to us tomorrow, hey, I will go back my leadership and recommend, please let us sell what we just bought and let's go to Essen Park, because that's the crown jewel. That is the prize that football and sport need, is at Essen Park. It is just the most wonderful facility that any sport could want to have. But we are busy now building our own National Technical Center. And then how much did we spend for schools so far? I think Ronnie must come in and answer that question. The question of rural sport, we have rolled out, as our vice president said, the legacy trust, the FIFA 2010 World Cup legacy trust, is funding under 13, under 15, under 17, under 19, I'm sorry, under 17 leagues, those three leagues. There are also under 19 leagues that are happening now, but that's funded by the ABC, by the Motsepe Foundation. And then those three leagues are now rolled out in all 343 of our local football associations. The condition for funding from the legacy trust is that 50% of the money must go for men's leagues, and the other 50% for women's leagues. It is not just a percent proportion of it; it is equity. 50%, 50%. So the women's leagues, the girls' leagues, get 50% of the funding from the legacy trust, and the men's leagues get the other 50%. So there's equity when it comes to funding of the development programs, which reach into the rural areas as well. But no, that money is certainly not enough for us to be able to do the kinds of things that the honourable member is talking about. We, a few years ago after the World Cup, we bought a fleet of buses and cars. It cost us 110 million rand to supply one bus per region and one car per region, and we simply don't have the money. And yet, Chairperson, transport is the number one problem in South African football. How do teams get to honor their fixtures, especially in rural areas where our transport system is non-existent, our public transport system is non-existent, and unfortunately we are not in a position to supply vehicles all the way down to the club level. As I said, we have 40,000 plus clubs in the country. In the Western Cape alone, the printer at some point told me that there are 4,000 football matches taking place on any given weekend. Football matches taking place on any given weekend. So you literally have to get 1,000 vehicles and transport. So your taxis and buses and others become alternative means of transport for our team. But yes, our president has also in the past repeatedly said, if we can, we will supply transport. But we have just don't have the resources to do it down all the way to that level. We just hope that better administration at the local level will then be able to assist us in dealing with those logistical challenges at that level as well. But if there are any issues, honourable members, I would really love also for members of the committee to engage us and let us know, because there's something that you may hear that people talk to you about that may not be coming to us, and then we can also address that. The attitude at regional level, there's sources of income. Ronnie can just talk about the sources of income and how our Olympic team paid. We put incentives, Chairperson, for both the men and women's team, that for whatever the men get, the women will get. That's the incentive. Ronnie can give you the details on what it is that we offered for both of the teams to go and perform in the Olympic Games. But there were no differences in the incentives for both men and women. It was exactly the same. And I know we insisted that we are not going to go into another tournament where women are given a different incentive from the men. So the payment was equalized for both the men and women. But Ronnie can give you a bit more details on what that is. And the development leagues, sir, we will give you a full list of where these development leagues are taking place, who the coordinators are in those leagues, what the contact numbers are in all 343 of our local football associations. If there is a problem, you can go feel directly and inquire from them what is happening with respect to those leagues. And if there are problems there, we certainly are very, very willing to sit and listen to what those issues are, and we certainly act on them. The transformation in accordance with the geopolitical alignment, yes, Comrade Deputy Chair, I'm assuming that who is the... Oh, the Speaker, sorry. Oh, it's the Deputy Chair, he's just like, okay, oh, okay. Oh, the Speaker. Honourable Speaker, We are constantly looking at the Municipal Demarcation Board alignments. 2 years ago, we were informed that the Demarcation Board was planning to make 500 changes to municipal boundaries over the next 3 years, 3 to 5 years. And so it's difficult for us to try and keep up with all of the changes, but yes, we are constantly looking at and making sure that our alignment follows the alignment of the country and also SACOG's alignment, because SACOG has also said there are certain things that they want in terms of structure. And so the difficulty for us is at the local football association level, Chairperson. There, we have to defer those decisions down to our regions. But our regional demarcations is 100% in accordance with the Municipal Demarcation Board's alignment of municipal boundaries. But it means that we left it up to the region to decide how they are going to demarcate their LFAs. Because, you know, the difficulties of terrain, the environment in the country where the regions are best positioned to determine how they are going to structure their leagues and their own structures below them. So that's one area where we have not gone into demarcating ourselves from the national office. And the last question, Chair, that I will... is the one or the project in the Big Five. I think our Vice President has addressed that issue. We will follow up on that, and because the principle for the establishment of those 28 artificial turfs of the Legacy Project was that, one, the land must belong to the municipality. So I am a little bit surprised that it belongs to a private entity. The condition for the establishment of those artificial turfs is that the land must belong to the municipality. Number two, this must be done in conjunction with the municipality, and it must be run by the community immediately around that center. Now, if somebody else has now appropriated that, we're going to have a serious issue with that, because the conditions for those 28 artificial turfs, and those are deliberately put mostly in rural areas, if not, in fact, it's not mostly, but all of them were put in rural areas. We said we're not going to put it in the urban areas. And so those 28 artificial turfs are intended for the community to use, along with the Football Association. The Football Association is but one of three partners. There's the municipal government, there's the community, and then the Football Association. Those are the three partners in this project. If one private individual has now appropriated the land, I really am going to look into that, and I'm going to take it up with the Legacy Trust to go into this a little bit deeper. But it should not have happened. It should not be a situation where that facility is now the preserve of someone private. It just cannot happen, Chair. And the last question was the issue of school sports, and are we part of the joint committee? Yes, we are part of the joint task team. We serve there as SAFA on the school sports joint task team. So we are actively involved and working with both of the departments in rollout of schools football. The reduction of the standing committees is now FIFA is taking that, has taken the lead on that, and we have done so in 2012 already. We have reduced our standing committees into clusters of committees, down from 23 to 11 clusters, so that committees of similar nature, for instance, our medical committee, our technical committee, and our revenue committee form one cluster, because the things that they do and talk about and plan are all interrelated, and so therefore it makes that a little bit more efficient and helps us to manage the game a little better, Jefferson. Those are the questions that I have taken down. I thought I took all of them down, Chair. I hope I didn't miss any. Sorry. Yeah, I did take that down. Sorry. Why we have not employed disabled person, Chairperson, I don't want to sit and lie to you. We don't have an excuse. Let's be honest about it. We don't have an excuse. I think we must do better. We don't have we're not a big employer, but I don't want to go and try and justify it any other way. We don't have an excuse. I'm sorry. I don't know, Chair, if I have answered all of the questions.
Honourable members, you know, there are so many follow-ups in your responses, and I've seen, honourable members, they are doing like this. They wanted to raise questions
The time now is 1 o'clock. And as we are sitting here, please pardon me, you must not feel offended if we have used our time accordingly. But we are addressing an issue. And we must not be afraid of putting views and addressing issues, but we must come to an end. That issue that we are addressing, taking our time, it was passionate to most of the members that we must address that. But that's why that I don't want anyone to feel offended when I was saying that we cannot take our time discussing the apology. And of course, I was saying that now those who are putting apology, there are no other issues to tell us. So I felt that other members offended. That's why there was one member, because that he decided to march out. Unfortunately, he's an alternate. Mr. Filton, he was not supposed to do that. And because when we differ because we are adults and with views. And when we're here, sometimes we listen, our votes can use, but they are very important. We are here because our political parties, but you can't just, when you are disagreeing, march out. It's not right. So when I'm seeing Honorable Malazi, the hand that is up, so many things I need to follow up. For instance, we contribution here, we are assisting us. Will put a pressure or will ask our colleagues the school act, when is it going to be enacted? Because we have got too much powers to this SCP. And as I'm sitting here, I do understand that information is a power. Sometimes we ask questions which we are thinking that are relevant until you answer. But Tina, we want to see a professional green network, and we don't know how other sport codes like your soccer are getting from. And we're wondering, because we are gender activists, that this 50-50 is discriminating, not for the network. But some of your explanation were taken care of, but let's try our best. As I'm sitting here, all of us are political parties. We are no longer getting funding the former giant movement. It was still giant movement, I'm suspecting. So I'm saying that the sponsorship is not easy, but I'm hoping that we've got men and women here, and the young ones, that we can plan, and we can plan how to get such so that Abengusa Maria on Mele to assist us. Let's try. We do agree. The minister, they come and tell how do they try to assist Nego, and even a good service. But because we are this committee that wanted to see these women that must be equal. You know what? Past the days that we are thinking that when people are kicking the ball in the street, thinking that it's for boys. Our Banyana proved that they also can do. And we must try to run away that we're thinking that we're still going to sit in the kitchen. Yes. Yes. We are out. And we're out to be part of each and every code of sport in South Africa. But culturally, we are right. Our parents and our elders, they don't understand why women are playing rugby. Because they are thinking that we are not strong. I was in wheelchair for 2 weeks after my pass away with my mother, but I said, no way, this doesn't belong to me. When I entered this room, everybody was saying that this is not our mother whom we know. But you know what? The vibrant discussion by some honorable members, I wanted to see that mentally I'm still strong, I'm alive. So we cannot be alive because we want to prove that whatever, it was not a disease, it was collapsing of my system. Here am I, and I'm happy that I was present in this meeting. We nearly chatted out you outside because, Tina, when sometimes politicians are discussing issues, we are not to be defeated. It is not about that. No one defeated anyone here. We are here, we want information, and we want to assist. And when we are going to oversight to appreciate when?
19.
When we are doing oversight, as this committee, we call everyone, that they are not doing what is expected that they must do. Now, I'm proud of this committee. I didn't realize it. I'll do that because I want that you must voice out what you want. And I don't want that I'm a hitter here. I'm not a hitter here. I'm just saying that you agree that I must share. But there is time that I must hold it down. And I'm saying sometimes to these committee members, I don't play with power. Honorable Malazi, Honorable Mutenka.
Thanks, sir. You are nothing close to Hitler. You are very, very but I'll just be brief. I think this indicated that the CFO will just give us bad figures with regard to the incentives of team for the Olympics. But my second question links to that is, why do we strive for equality linked to tournaments which happen over 4 years? Why is there no parity in terms of net fees? You know, and what's the logic behind this one particular for the Olympics? And then we revert to the gender inequality status quo after the Olympics. And if you get it quite frankly, the Olympics are very short-based period. If in this case it's 3 games, had the best happened, they would have played 8 games. And this links back to that initial issue that both you made about the progress that we in the national team based on the health database at the High Performance Center. Because an extension of that argument would be, you can already see results when you've got a group of players that are based in one facility that their nutrition is looked after. But when you go to the senior team, which is the epitome of that, they go back with that match fee that they had once in two months, for instance. And we can't expect players at that level to be nutritionally excellent, to be medically excellent, when we know that they've got no other corporate income to go on to. So why FIFA hasn't, one, explored the concept of closing that gap in terms of match fees, particularly given the fact that we know the number of matches that the senior women's team play is minimal compared to the senior men's team over a period of time, unless in competition, yes, we know that the qualifications are more. And secondly, that we know for the fact that the absence of an alternative income for them, given the lack of a professional or semi-professional women league, means that it also affects their competitive level, and that costs us more. That's why we spent $26 million putting a 10-day camp for them, because they need more time within the national team setup, because outside of that, the playing field is just not equal, and we're just not getting those sense in terms of, we understand the difficulty with the broader issue of the league itself, but internally, there are some of the basic interventions that we can do. And by merely intervening at a tournament level, it means you acknowledge that those interventions can be implemented in terms of equitable incentives and equitable remuneration for competition. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Malash, Honorable Mudak.
Thank you, Chair. I'll reduce the questions I wanted to. Just a second. I'll just take two or three. One is, it's not really a question, but it's just a remark. $9 million for male vis-a-vis the female 27 mineral allocation. It's not a fair comparison because over time, the men are benefiting more and more and more, and this we can't just compare it on a once-off allocation day. But in other words, we can say in this regard, the females have benefited more. No, over time, because men are there full time, they are benefiting. Why? So you can't. Okay, it was just a moment. At the grassroots level, amateur football, we are very much involved. So we know everything what is happening. So what we are trying to do, although we are compromised by lack of funding, we are saying each and every team must have ladies soccer team, must have netball like that, so that when we saying Mokobu Fantas is playing a tournament, there is soccer competition, there is men's competition, there is netball happening, there is rugby happening, or under the same name, on the same name, then there will be no excuse for this sports coach to say there's no transfer. You will always have transfer. So my recommendation is chair an institute and help you to this. And now my recommendation is the amount. Okay, so my recommendation is when SAFA are going to have a meeting with PSN, let them suggest that. But Sundowns is doing. Bloemfontein is doing. Kaizer must do. Orlando Pirates must do. All teams must do that. So even down there, from grassroots, we can do that. Help us to come out with this target of saying one club must adopt different codes, so that when we pushing this thing, we pushing sport, we know who the sport is happening on. Because the main excuse, Honorable Ralhom, of others for the goals that they don't want to go to the rural areas, they are saying there's no class there, there's no this there, there's no this. Help us to have those classes there, so that we can benefit those who never benefited before. The last one is this issue of sponsors, that they are only willing to sponsor a certain gender. I'm very much concerned, because the people are using their capital power to reverse the gender equality revolution. You can't allow that. If there is a company that is reject you because you want to promote females, please tell us. As the lawmakers and politicians can deal with each other and offer this. Thanks very much.
Honourable members, let me take our. We want responses, especially with Honourable Malati.
Yeah. Chairperson, if I may just a cautionary note for us. Unfortunately, I know I've heard it before, but unfortunately, we don't use taxpayer money. As an association, out of the 300 million of income, we get 2 million rand from the state specifically for women's football and schools football. The rest of the money we have to spend is raised from other sources, so we don't use taxpayer money other than the 2 million rand. And one of those is that we have an airline sponsor, and our flight is at 3 o'clock, and unfortunately we can't change our flight arrangements. So just as a cautionary note. But in terms of Mr. Malachi's question, yes, I think we are moving. I think we've taken his questions in particular very seriously in the past. We are caught in, you know, between a rock and a hard place. The sponsorships and the way that they are structured is for specific purposes. I don't want to say the sponsors say, no, we don't want to sponsor women. They will tell you, we want to sponsor to get this outcome. And that outcome is invariably involves men who will deliver in that. So in the byproduct is obviously that it could be sexist in nature, because it really is a repetition of a need to sponsor women and women's football. So yeah, we need to all do better in that respect. The recurring inequities is something that we will have to, whatever new arrangements we enter into, we enter with that particular objective in mind. And it's difficult to go back in time and say, okay, this contract we want to now realign or amend this contract to include this provision as well. So the monies that we are now making available, for instance, for women's football, and perhaps is something, you know, we need to take ourselves internally in terms of what Honorable Malachi is saying, is that perhaps our own internal distribution now needs to be adjusted. But where we adjust, given the lack of resources, somewhere else is going to suffer. But it's something that we will really have to seriously look at, is in terms of that internal allocation and whether we don't perpetuate that pattern of equal payments. Unfortunately, we don't employ any player as an association. The players are employed by the clubs. And typically what we have found out in the past, when we call up Bafana players, and the late Shoes Mushoyo is a very perfect example of that. The way his contract was structured, Chairperson, he gets paid on, he gets paid mostly from bonuses for performing on the field of play. So when he honors a national team call-up, he doesn't get paid from his club, or he gets paid much less money from his club because he did not run on the field. And then he also doesn't qualify for certain bonuses. So choose Mosoyo as an example. It happens to many other players. When he honors the call-up for the national team, he actually, we pay the player 60,000 rand bonus. But the player leaving his club, in the case of Shoes, lost hundreds of thousands of rand in giving up bonuses for playing on field, because they get paid on the basis of their current performance all the time. And unfortunately, that's the nature of the business. And so we caught ourselves in a compensation regime where we tried to make do and make good for those players to get some money from us via the sponsorships that we were getting. But yes, the net result is that it perpetuated the discrimination and inequities in the payment between men and women. Because people like Kahisho Dikaswa, for instance, when it comes to also honor a national team caller, he also doesn't qualify for bonuses. And it happens with many of our other players as well. Now, to the extent that it happens here locally, that's another matter, because I think we have better control of that. And the compensation regime in South Africa is different from what it is in foreign clubs. That's the reality of the business of football, Jefferson, that we will have to continue to engage. And that said, you know, we don't want to sit here and say there's a magic bullet as to how we are going to resolve it. But at least be honest enough to say that we are going to attempt to resolve it.
You know what? The only thing that was limited, as President said, that we cannot go to PSL. We are the best. Even if we can call as rules permitted, we cannot face that much to them. The accountability of themselves to us is very limited, it's unfortunate. But we are seeing where the problem lies. And with this, well, let me thank the entourage of SAFA that you made us proud by giving us information. And when we are going to this visit, but we are worried with the one from Mkanyamuta, that there even municipality was ranking to that gentleman. Could you believe that? And he was even arrogant when we wanted to go in that field. So we were thinking that when that we have said we must pass that to our minister, maybe I ask from you in the next meeting the progress on that. Because we were not happy, we had to report back. So we always
preparing to come here today. Your preparation is seen by everyone, and we're happy about resources. We're not yet there, and all of us were keen that one other day must be there. Rome was built in a day, but this 22 years down the line, it means a lot, but we're forgotten that we're from 310 years that this thing has been happening. We are encouraging you that we're seeing people that we can assist, and if need be, even the committee would love to assist where you think that you must. But with those words, thank you very much. It happened that I'm staying in OR. Utatu Kompela, he's so sick. You didn't give us that report also. I don't know whether it's belonging in Sava. Yes. He's sick. Maybe it was going to be better if you was here according to what we argued. But it was not easy even to finish presiding in the speakership, the new leadership where he is. I'm telling you, try to call and check him. Honorable members, you are as a committee of principle. Let's keep it on. 5 years, still going to a long way. I don't know what it is. What, 3.5 years now. Two and a half years, we still need each other. Thank you so much to everyone who is here in this room. Media people, thank you so much that when this very important entity that is unifying South Africans, that you always come when you would call Zafa. I wasn't that we are important, because even your good self, you know, 2010, that made this country look more united. And we'll try at this point that when it's a meeting of sport, we must be robust, but not to be divided, because we know what we want in the country. Thank you very much. With those words, the meeting is closed, honorable members. Okay, let's continue with the agenda. Okay. Just a moment.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think it's really in our duty to really thank the committee and the members here. I mean, we always welcome the invitation, you know, to come and present our case to the committee. So, and also receptive to any ideas, suggestions, you know, for the committee. You know, we always be grateful to come in at any given time. And I think, as the mayor said, two issues. The issue of tickets in the, you know, provinces, I think we must be afforded with a list of the committee members, then we know which member is in which province, so that when they have a match in that particular province, they are able to provide tickets to that particular member. So, secondly, I would like to extend an invitation to the committee members to go and tour our new technical center. I think it's important in this community to know what's happening there. So those are the two issues I think I must emphasize. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Oh, well.
Hold on.